Welcome back, y'all, to another episode of Hip Hop Biz It Babies. You know what I'm saying?
Babies.
You know, I would do my little baby. But, Lee, what was that?
I'm trying to switch it up, nigga. What you want me to do, okay? You want me to give the same content every week? I gotta throw in a little, I don't know, flavor in there every now and then. So, you know.
Flavor in your ear. Flavor in your ear.
Wow. Yep. Flavor in your ear. Hip hop reference. There you go.
Wow. Now, right.
AC, since you coming for me, bro. How you doing, bro? How's your mental? How's your love? Everything, bro.
AC being the best looking hip hop baby, I'm doing good. Just off that
alone. False.
Off that alone, AC the best looking hip hop baby. But other than that, I'm doing really good, you know, fitness thing kicking off, doing pretty good, you know what I'm saying? I'm enjoying that. Enjoying reading. When I get a chance to read, you know what I'm saying?
Wait, you read? You read like books?
What?
You read like books and shit?
We went over this last podcast.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, my God. You're reading some God shit and stuff. I forgot, man. It doesn't seem like it's in your character. What?
To read books?
I don't know, bro. That's why I got to ask you what you up to.
This man is crazy. Man. Dead Lee has been on. He's on something else today. His confidence is high. He said, "Y'all got to fight."
Our producer said, "We got to fight, bro." So expect a Hip Hop Babies boxing match in the next. Oh wait. Nah, we gonna golf, nigga. That's how we gonna fight. We gonna fight like gentlemen. We go out to golf.
Y'all niggas crazy.
I know this nigga AC don't want the smoke. I seen this nigga with his golf swing. This is the most abysmal golf swing I've seen of all time. He's like, that bitch fly, but man, how do you aim that bitch?
Who y'all got y'all money on? AC or Deadly golfing? Who you think? I got money on the light skin, no cap. I think he, because I'm not even going to say it. Cause not, like, yeah, he got a little bit of white in him. He's going to be going dummy.
He got a little bit of white in him. He's about to be swinging that club.
Dummy.
Stupid.
Yeah, I had my white grandfather teach me a couple things about golf here and there. You know, he got some access to wealth or whatever. So I was out on the field, you know, swinging the clubs here and there. But I let AC think he got a chance. I let AC think he got a chance.
All right. We're going to need our producer, Wavy J, and obviously, you know, one of our babies come through, Ray Love. He got to come through too and decide who really won and have to be a witness.
Nigga, it's a scoring game. It's going to be up to the score.
It's hard, I understand, but I want them to witness how badly I beat you. It's really
going to be bad. Oh, my God. Hey, bring everybody you want, bro. Bring your family. Bring your woman. I don't care, nigga. You about to get mopped up.
Cap. All right, bro. Man, how's Ray Love doing, bro? Let's check with him.
Ray. Hold on. Before we get into this, bro, I gotta ask. The people
I know.
They be sending me emails, text messages, DMs. They like, how is Ray Love's mental, man? How is he doing? For real, though. Like, for real.
Y'all want to know the real?
Real. Yes.
No, you don't want to.
Nigga, I want to know. Fuck AC right now. What you got?
You know. I don't know. It's been all right, man. It's the same old thing, man. Quarantine. I ain't working yet. I'm just figuring out what the hell I'm about to do. I'm about to get back into school, so I'm getting ready for that. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm excited, but I'm anticipating getting back at the rhythm of doing something, you know, important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I say that in quotations. My man, RIP to my man Malik from The Roots. That kind of threw off my day. Even though quarantine, you know, all this sad stuff is going on around us, that was kind of like, because I love The Roots, and it was sad to see one of the founding members pass away. RIP, paying respects to that man. And I'm as you guys know, I'm ready to get into these topics.
Man, I mean, you could have lied to us a little bit and just said like you was having a good time or something. Like you didn't have to go full depression mode on us, but it's good that you getting that out there because I know you don't got money for a psychiatrist, so it's all good.
Okay, it's been all right. It's just been some downs today, especially like just seeing that and just. But I've been all right overall. It's just been the same thing, you know, kind of monotonous. At first, like it was like okay, now I'm adjusting to the schedule, but now it's like. All right, this is the schedule. It's not going to change because the shit is not getting better as far as, like, you know, COVID.
Yeah, but, this shit bogus, bro. Everything's closed back up again after we just started opening. I'm not trying to be, like, nobody who's saying, like, nothing needs to be closed down. But to a certain degree, we were open up again. And, you know, California, especially Contra Costa County, has been very good with our cases and how we handle the situation with masks and stuff. So I feel like the regulations don't need to be as strict with us. I feel like we're very good at self-regulating. But, you know, we can't do anything about it. So we're just going to – I'm just going to obey. I don't – you can call me a sheep if you want. I don't give a shit. But, like, I'm going to do it. I'm told.
Do your part. That's all you can do. Do your part. We want this stuff to get back to normal as soon as possible, and that's part of it, doing your part.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Hey, but real quick, I heard, Newsom, yeah, he said our numbers were the highest in Contra Costa County.
Oh, wow. I'm not going to lie to you. When people around here don't be wearing masks, at least in my where I live. I'm not going to say, like, they don't wear masks when they go out, but when they're, like, walking their dog.
Oh, yeah. I feel like nobody does that though when they're like out in public and shit. I don't see anybody doing that. But like if we're in a combined space and indoors, I feel like everybody for the most part is regulating themselves.
That's part of it, bro. Because if it really is airborne for a little bit, you might have it be asymptomatic. You want to wear your mask. That's why I just do my part no matter what. I'm wearing my mask if I go out, period. Unless I'm eating or doing something. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to do my part because if I got it, you know, I don't want to be going out my way to spread the particles in the air. You feel me? Mm-hmm. But I get it. You know, you want time to just walk and be normal, but that's not the situation we're in right now, I feel like. So,
yeah. Right on. I appreciate y'all doing what y'all need to do in order for us to, you know, kill this virus or, you know, flatten the curve, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
We all got to do our part. Man, Deadly, how you doing, bro?
You know, man, I've been doing pretty good. I've been out at my pop's house, been in Vallejo, getting accustomed to the customs of Vallejo and the people around here. You know, people are pretty nice out here. Neighborhood ain't like anything crazy, but it's cool. I like the weather. We went down, we visited my uncle and my cousins in Fresno. My sisters are in town from Colorado, away from there. Demon of a stepmother right now. They visiting us, so they having a good time. I'm really appreciating this time with my little sisters and you know, my brothers here as well. And I got to see my cousins, my uncle, and my aunt. So that was really cool. We all just got to get together and really have one of the first family meetups since COVID started. So, you know, I've just been telling them about what I've been doing, been having some debates here and there, having some uncomfortable conversations about protests and shit like that. Cause, you know, motherfucking people, old people always got their ideas on what's happening right now, even though they ain't really in it. But, you know, they got shit to say. So having some informative conversations, having some, you know, fun conversations, getting drunk, playing card games, board games, playing spades with my uncle and my dad and shit. So pretty cool last week in general. And I've been listening to music and I've been working on the podcast like usual. Y'all know.
Yep. Putting that work in.
Now that we got the introduction out of the way, you know, I know the people have been dying to hear what we've been up to because we are so interesting. We got to delve into these topics real quick. So there's been a lot of misinformation being spread in general on the internet as of late. One of the main parts in which it has been misinformed is what has happened to Megan Thee Stallion. Man. Megan, man. So basically this week, rapper Megan Thee Stallion has gave new details on Instagram as to what happened in Los Angeles this month, saying that she was struck in both feet not just one foot, that the fake stories about her injuries were like portraying. She, unquote, suffered gunshot wounds as a result of a crime that was committed against her and done with the intention to physically harm her. It was not that she was protecting anybody when she didn't talk about it. She just really wasn't ready to speak about it. And she said that it was not funny, nothing to joke about in general, that these people were spreading these false rumors about it. So I really just want to get y'all thoughts on this whole situation. What do you think about people speaking on like incidences that they don't really have nothing, no knowledge on, and just kind of memeing about it? Do you think it's okay for people to make memes about stuff that's going on in pop culture like this when they don't really have any knowledge on it and just speculating? Is that cool? Is that not? Like, what do y'all think?
I think it's a weird place because we know people on the internet don't take anything seriously, especially people who are anonymous and just like to post memes and like to troll.
Yeah.
So I get why people are saying like you shouldn't make fun or meme a black woman suffering. Like I saw hella memes about the video where she was on the ground and then she passed out because she got the cops were basically telling her like get on the ground, da, da, da. And they told her friend to do the same. They had to spread her legs and stuff. It was an ugly sight. Like the whole situation. I don't know, bro. It just there's some things you should joke about and there's some things you should not. And I get that we, like I said earlier, as a culture, especially on Twitter, we make memes out of everything, but I just feel like it wasn't the best thing to make a meme about because even though she didn't die or people just saying she just got shot in the foot, it's like you got to understand that no matter what, you get shot anywhere, that's a traumatizing experience. No one wants to get shot. No one wants to be hurt like that. It's just... I don't know, especially, you know, people are saying Tory Lanez might have did it. If that's so, that's someone she trusted. That's a whole nother thing. Like, at first, I was thinking, like, someone, like, pulled up and shot him. But if it's Tory Lanez shooting her in the car, that's a whole nother situation.
Well, sorry to cut you off, but she has said it was somebody that had the intent to hurt her. So,
yeah.
I want to go off of Tory's goodwill and just say that he had no intent to hurt her because they did seem like friends. But obviously, that's speculation.
I know. We're hearing rumors. Like, nothing's totally been confirmed because I don't think she really wants to snitch, it seems like. And it's just, like, rumored that he probably did it because he had the gun in the car, right? So, if he did do it and he's someone she trusted and then he just went out his way, whatever situation happened in the car, as more details come out, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. But that's just crazy.
Yeah, and just, like... I know that, like, this is a celebrity and, like, they're in the limelight and stuff, but she did come out and say on her Instagram that, you know, she did say this was, like, literally the worst experience of her life and stuff like that. And she wasn't ready to talk about it. And the fact that people jumped on it so quick and kind of, you know, antagonized the situation, not really cool. I personally didn't tweet about it. I mean, I don't tweet about a lot of stuff because I like to talk about it on the podcast, but, you know, just talking about stuff without having all the details of a situation in general. I know we don't have all of them right now, but just talking about stuff like that in like kind of a non-serious matter, something that could be really serious. She was shot in both feet. Is kind of messed up. But like you said, Twitter niggas make jokes 24/7 and there's anonymous accounts. They're going to do what they want. Like nobody's going to be able to regulate that. What do you think, AC? What do you think on this?
I mean, it's just going to be, like, repetitive me saying what you guys have already been saying. I mean, it's going to happen. People are going to make fun of you regardless of what you're doing, if it's serious or it's not or whatever. People are just going to make fun. And I'm not saying it's right, but I hope that Megan is fine. You know, it seemed that it wasn't life-threatening, you know, that she got shot in her foot. Did she get shot twice or just once in her foot?
She said she got shot in both her feet. So it might have been one bullet. But she says she had no bones broken or anything. She just had to have surgery to have the bullet removed or bullets.
Right. So I understood it that she only got shot in one foot. But if she gotten shot in both feet, then that, I understand how that can be traumatizing. Like Ray said, anytime you get shot, you know, dealing with any kind of, you know, wound of some sort. It doesn't even have to be a bullet wound, just anything, you know, it's kind of traumatizing. So I just hope she's all right. You know, that could scare people from going out and doing things, you know, in public anymore and, you know, being out there in the limelight. So that's unfortunate, and it's unfortunate people make fun of her, but I think, you know, once this will all blow over, hopefully, and then she'll be all right.
Yeah, and a lot of people were talking about, you know, Megan just giving nothing but positivity and, like, empowering women in general and in the rap community, so that she didn't deserve any of this stuff. Do you think that just because somebody is super positive and do nothing but give, they should be, you know, absolved from memeing in general? Do you think that, like, that's something that's not cool when somebody only, you know, does something that's good in the community? Do you think they should just be absolved from jokes?
No. Just because, oh, like, you mean jokes as if, like, what the jokes that are she's enduring right now, or you just mean jokes in general?
Well, I'm not speaking on, like, the misinformation part, because I think that's fucked up. But I think that, like, just, you know, clown, not necessarily clowning, but, like, you know, making fun of, like, or making light of a situation when, you know, somebody's only been doing something that's, like, positive or, like, for, like, other people, stuff like that. Do you think that they should just be absolved from, like, these type of conversations?
Well, I don't know if I'm understanding your question right, but if you're saying that people shouldn't be made fun of in this type of situation, like if somebody gets wounded or hurt, should we make fun of them? No, I don't think we should make fun of them, even if they aren't someone who does something positive and, like, you know, uplifting in the community. I don't think you should. If somebody was doing bad stuff in the community, you should make fun of them. That's just me. Some people may see it as, oh, it's karma. You know, we don't like you, so I'm happy something bad happened to you. I don't see it like that. I see it as, I'm not happy it happened to you. I see it as, well, it happened to you, so, I mean, maybe that's a lesson to you that maybe you shouldn't do bad to other people. But in the situation that we're talking about with Megan, just because you do something in the community and you're positive, you know, whatever the case may be, you're doing some positive things or whatever, it doesn't mean that you're just completely just, you know, safe from all kind of jokes and anything like that. You know, if she does something dumb, like, I'm not talking about the situation with her getting shot, but if they're making fun of her about something else, just because you do something in grade doesn't mean you can't be made fun of.
Yeah, you know, no, that's true.
Being made fun of is not always a bad thing. Sometimes it's character building. Sometimes, you know, there could be positive aspects about being made fun of.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, generally my philosophy with, like, people on the internet, I mean, I know celebrities really don't, when it is, like, a large populace talking about them, they do see it, but, like, they don't really see it a lot of the times when people are just saying, like, random shit on the internet. But when somebody is starting off with toxicity in some degree, I feel like being toxic back and, you know, just kind of matching that energy is completely fine. But, you know, when somebody like Megan, who really has been unproblematic in the community in general, and she just kind of gets this kind of, like, it seems like backlash to some degree where people are highly speculating, making jokes on things, making inappropriate jokes in general. I don't think any of that is really that cool. And I don't really find it funny. But that's just my opinion on it.
I agree. I think, I don't know, man, like, as a person who has lost someone to gun violence, like, last year I lost my uncle to gun violence. I know that it seems like, well, she just got shot in the foot, but she could have bled out. Like, if you saw the video, she was bleeding on the ground when the cops were telling her to go on the ground. She passed out probably because of from shock or whatever, you know, just from everything going on. So obviously it hit her hard, and hopefully she can come back from this, because we were talking about her last single on the last episode, and it seemed like things were going up for her. She was figuring out her label drama. The single was popping as far as, like, you know, the sample and everything. Everything was working out for her, and then now this happened. So hopefully it doesn't affect her and makes her change her character, like, affects her musically or even personally. Like, you know, we want Megan to come back, and we want her to come back strong.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't really think there's anything else to say on this. You know, prayers to Megan. I hope she's doing well. She says she's doing well, so that's good news. But yeah, no, stop speculating on shit you don't know about, because that shit's not cool at all. But speaking of people who don't know about a lot of things and speculating on a lot of things, we just got some two prominent figures getting in trouble. Well, not so prominent anymore. I mean, both of them not so prominent anymore. Deshaun Jackson and Nick Cannon both got in trouble for anti-Semitic comments and posts. So I'm just running y'all down what really happened in general. We'll start with Nick Cannon. Nick Cannon has been fired from his long-running comedy show, Wild and Out. It comes after he made anti-Semitic comments on his podcast and YouTube show, Cannon's Class. He apologized and said, I must apologize to my Jewish brothers and sisters for putting them in such a painful position, which was never his intention. But I know this situation has hurt many people, and together we're going to make it right. Cannon was interviewing Richard Griffin, also known as Professor Griff, who was kicked out of Public Enemy after he did an interview where he had claimed that Jews were responsible for the majority of wickedness that goes on across the globe. And then doing this, it prompted Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to speak on it. He said, these famous outspoken people share the same scapegoat logic as all oppressed groups, from Nazis to the KKK. All our troubles are because of bad apple groups that worship wrong, have the wrong complexion, come from the wrong country, are the wrong gender, or love the wrong gender. It's so disheartening to see people from groups that have been violently marginalized do the same thing to others without realizing that perpetuating this kind of bad logic is what perpetuates racism. Before I give the question, I just want to go over what Deshaun Jackson did, and then we'll, you know, tie it together. So Deshaun Jackson has apologized for a series of anti-Semitic Instagram posts over the weekend, one of which included a quote about Jews falsely attributed to Adolf Hitler. Jackson posted a passage to his Instagram that claimed to quote Hitler in saying that black people were the real children of Israel, and that white Americans would be terrified to know that they had been mistreating and discriminating and lynching them. He also shared a specific paragraph referencing a Jewish plan to extort America and achieve world domination. So with these things coming to light kind of back to back, do you think that there is a problem in the African-American community that has to deal with anti-Semitism? Like, do you think that there's a real issue with anti-Semitism in Black America?
I think it's a weird issue because, as we know, Jewish people have faced their own oppression. They've come up in a sense that they have a lot of equity now, and they figured out how to express their views and how they want to, because at this point, I feel like they're established. They're not, this is the thing, I can't speak for everybody, but I don't think they're really struggling like that. But again, they are oppressed still. People still go out their way to spread hatred to their group. People still have views on them that are racist. And it's sad to see that certain people in our community really hold these views as far as to say that Jews are evil and that they are the reason that blacks can't be at the top like they should be. I get it as far as, like, you see these group of people that are successful and you start to see, well, why are they successful and we're not? But they had to go through their own period of suffering. And now they've adjusted and they've come out and they're prospering. Not everybody in that group is prospering, though. That's a stereotype. So you have to mind what you say. And I feel like Nick Cannon, when he was saying it, it was like, why are you going out your way to say it? I get you, it's on your podcast and you're able to express your own views, but you know that you're in the media and that people are going to take that, and you're expressing views that correlate with the Nation of Islam. Farrakhan has said some stuff like this, where he says that blacks are the real Jewish people, or like they're the real people we're the real ancestors as far as like to that, to Jesus in that time period. And I don't know, that's maybe we were a part of it, but to totally say that these people, this group of people are lying and that they're changing it and just cutting us off. I get that you're trying to bring us up, but you don't have to put down another group of people to bring us up. And that's what I don't like about Deshaun Jackson's statements or Nick Cannon's statements. Do I think he should have got fired? I don't know. But it's kind of just, it's weird to see that a lot of these top Black people come out and say these statements that I have either laughed at, or I like Deshaun Jackson because he used to play for the Eagles and he's playing for the Eagles now. And it's just crazy to see them make these statements. And Deshaun Jackson really tried to quote a quote from Hitler. And it's like, why would you even do that?
Yeah, that's just fucking ridiculous, man. Yeah, that that passage from Hitler has been used in the past to try to prove that, you know, Hitler is not racist or whatever, and that he was just, you know, that whatever they tried to use that passage for before, but definitely not something that anybody in this day and age should be using to try to justify anything. No, nobody in any day and age should be trying to use. I don't know what sympathy anybody should have towards Nazi Germany or Hitler and whatsoever, but, you know, very misguided quoting right there. What do you think about it, AC? What do you think about the anti-Semitism in Black community?
Well, I think Ray put it perfectly where he said that we shouldn't have to tear. So another group that is also trying to prosper and uplift themselves, we shouldn't try to tear them down to in order to get ourselves on the next step and try to, you know, almost propel ourselves past them by pushing them down. I don't think we have to do that. I think we should just focus on ourselves and figure out how we can grow, you know, in our communities and help grow our communities so that we can go out there and be stronger as a unit. Now, you know, as for like the different quotes from, you know, Nick Cannon and Deshaun Jackson, it's kind of crazy how, you know, they can say something and it just gets blown up really big. Which the things that they said, I do agree that, you know, maybe they aren't the best things to say, you know, in the light of, you know, being in the limelight. You know, you're definitely, whatever you say and whatever you do is definitely going to be seen. But there's been a lot, I'm not, and this is not me trying to justify anything they said, but there's been a lot of things that has been, you know, anti-Black that has not been, you know, talked about. And I feel like we need to learn how to not accept, you know, something from somebody else and see that as, oh, they're putting our community down. I think we need to like rally together as a nation and identify when people are putting each other down. So instead of, you know, saying that, oh, you're putting, you know, the Jewish community down, oh, you're putting the Black community down, oh, you're putting the white community down, whatever the community is, Latina community, you're just putting down the community because we got to be a whole. And I feel like that's the problem. You know, it's too much separation. And in the, as for the Black community, I obviously, right, I don't have enough knowledge or enough data about the Black community dealing with the issues of anti-Semitism. But I do believe that, you know, we do have a problem as a whole when it comes to putting others down instead of trying to lift each other up. So that's my take on it. I just want to say that if you're, especially if you're in the limelight like those two are, you definitely, even though you're in the confines of your own home, doing the podcast at your house, whatever you may be tweeting on your phone, you have to know that things like these, this, like what you say, they are brought to light very quickly. So, I mean, we shouldn't be thinking these thoughts anyway, but I'm just saying if you are, I mean, you really should keep them in your head because it's not doing anything but, you know, bringing us down and bringing us back.
Yeah, yeah. Do we have anybody who has personal experience with anti-Semitism, maybe within their own family or something like that?
I have witnessed it as far as, some of my friends have said that they feel like, I wouldn't say that they say Jewish people are evil, but you use that stereotype that they have money and that every one of them are frugal. They don't like to spend money, and they own everything. They own everybody. They own the government. Like, I wouldn't, that's damn near getting into conspiracy theories. And I don't think that's right to say about a group.
Yeah, it's a lot of generalizing. And then, you know, you see that even in, you know, white media, you see people, you could look at fucking Family Guy and how they perpetuate stereotypes about Jews and that. You know, there's different types of media, there's always something like that. So, you know, it's just racist stereotypes and hatred towards a certain group of people that, you know, has been severely oppressed throughout history. So it's just, you know, I don't want to see anybody from my community who feels they're oppressed to start placing blame on somebody else for the reason why they're oppressed, just out of their own thoughts. There's no facts to back anything up here. Motherfuckers are getting fake quotes and quoting those as to reasons why that people are oppressed or poorer than other people. You know, it's just not right. It's just not right. And like AC said, especially if you have this kind of platform, you have to be mindful of what you say and what you post in general. I don't care if you're an 11-year NFL vet and nobody cares about you anymore, DeSean Jackson. You still have people who follow you and still look up to you and, you know, take what you say like heavily. They'll trust your opinion and stuff. So you definitely can't be saying stuff like that.
Yeah. And to see a rapper in the grime community, Wiley, he went on a Twitter rant and was saying a bunch of anti-Semitic things. And I don't know, like, I'm not trying to say it's a problem in the hip-hop community because not everyone is going on a stance and, like, saying a bunch of anti-Semitic things. But there are big figures in different communities that are going out their way to spread these views. And I don't like it personally, even as, like, I just, like we're saying, like, I don't think we should be attacking another group of people. We should all be together. Julian Edelman, he reached out to DeSean Jackson. I found it nice that he said, like, we could both meet up, go to an African-American historical museum, and we can go to a Jewish historical museum, have a dialogue. Let's come to an agreement as far as, like, we both have been through stuff. And we should love each other rather than spread hatred. You know what I'm saying? I love that because that was another player in the NFL reaching out and saying, let's come together instead of me attacking you because you said a bunch of stuff that could be offensive. Let's come to an agreement and spread love. And I feel like that's what we should be doing. We should all come together rather than being divisive. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense to me.
Because, I mean, like, really, where do these situations arise from, right? Being uneducated and willful ignorance. So somebody coming out and saying that you're wrong, obviously a lot of people said that they were wrong, and then somebody reaching out to you and saying, hey, we should have an educated dialogue on this and, you know, go over the history together, I think is a really good thing and a really good step that you should take towards somebody who is uneducated in certain racial topics or, you know, discrimination topics in general. That's really what we should be doing with each other, educating each other, building each other up, showing each other that even though you're wrong, you still have a chance to learn and you still have a chance to fight for, you know, the other side of educating and fighting for the oppressed, right?
Yeah.
So now this still pertains to this. We've been seeing a lot of people being fired for racist remarks, stuff like that. Nick Cannon got fired from his show Wild 'N Out, but he is also still employed by being the host of The Masked Singer. So do you think that this type of, like, social backlash in general, when people get, like, social backlash on media platforms, should they immediately be dropped by their companies? Or do you think that, you know, people should, like DeSean Jackson, who was not fired from his job at the NFL, should be given a chance to be educated and, you know, have some kind of repentance? Do you think that that should be the option, or should they just be fired flat out?
I think it depends. I think it depends on the comments
and how aggressive they come off to be, meaning that if it's coming from a place of, you know, uncertainty and like looking for clarification, then of course I don't think they deserve to be fired. Because like you said, it could be an educational moment. It could be a moment where, you know, two people sit down or multiple people sit down and they teach the person who, you know, maybe is misguided. As for Nick Cannon's case, I don't know if he should have blatantly been fired. That's a hard one. That's a hard one to say if he should have been fired or not. You know, it takes a lot to fire somebody. Something that has to be worthy of being fired is something that you're doing that is very wrong, blatantly wrong, or you said, or you're something that's blatantly wrong. So I just go to what I said, you know, in the beginning. Go ahead, Lee.
I mean, I feel like nowadays, day of age, you don't have to do anything that's super wrong. I mean, not saying that Nick Cannon, what he said was not super wrong, but I feel like as long as there's any social backlash to what you're saying in general, there's a reason for a company to drop you because they don't want to have to participate in that. So for stuff that, you know, may seem kind of trivial, a lot of people will lose jobs or scholarships or whatever. Not defending anybody who's lost their job or something like that for racial remarks, because, you know, it's just not acceptable in it, ever. But, you know, sometimes it does seem a little trivial as to why these people lose their jobs. So that's why I just posed the question, why do you think that people should have a chance to repent? There's a lot of people that say that, you know, people don't really get a second chance anymore. People make mistakes. People should be given an opportunity. So do you think that that's a good philosophy, or do you think that really just you do something that's way out of line, you just instantly should be fired and just excommunicated?
Well, like AC was saying, I think it depends on the case. For example, DeSean Jackson, if they would have fired DeSean Jackson, I would have been a little bit annoyed, because when Riley Cooper, as an Eagles fan, he was like, I'll beat up any nigger in here at a country concert, and they did not fire him. They just slapped him on the wrist and said, come back to the team. If they would have fired him, I mean, they would have fired DeSean Jackson and not have done something similar what they did with Riley Cooper, I would have been like, that's a double standard. Because you can't let one person literally say nigger as a white man and slide and then fire a black man. I get that he shouldn't have quoted Hitler. Like, no. But I think if you're going to do that, you got to slap him on the wrist as well and give him a second chance.
Go ahead.
No, say what you got to say.
Well, that I'm backpedaling a little bit, because I'm thinking about, well, because there's been instances where, you know, people, they're on the opposite side. So let's say, you know, a white male or whatever, you know, maybe that says something racist, and we've wanted some repercussions for that, or some consequences for that. And so now I'm backpedaling a little bit and thinking, like, well, I remember being in someone else's shoes, you know, being in their shoes right now and saying, well, I want that person to be, you know, fired or have some sort of consequences. And so now I'm thinking back, like, they should have some sort of consequences for what they said. I mean, you can't go out there and be blatantly racist and just be a slap on the wrist. Like that guy you just said, I didn't even know about Cooper or whatever. I didn't even know about that situation. I don't think that should have been a slap on the wrist type of ordeal. I think there should have been something heftier than that. Like, I mean, he's playing with black athletes, black teammates. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think it should have been either, but at the time they did that, so I feel like that's their protocol at this point. Like, you can't go out your way to – like, that's the thing. I'm not saying that it's totally right, but in this situation, that's what they did before, so they have to follow that protocol. Unless they want to make a statement, but I feel like to make a statement with the black man, after you allow someone to literally say nigger and get away with it on a full – like, on a mostly black team – and you still try to allow, like, he's out of the league at this point because of that. But they allowed him to finish the season off when they should have probably fired him.
Right, he should have been out.
So that's what I mean. I think as more black people gain equity in start to develop their own companies, like Tyler Perry. With he has his own studio now, and he's able to do whatever he wants. I'm assuming as far as movies, TV shows goes, we're gonna start to see more white people get fired for saying racist statements because we're gonna have power. We're gonna be able to say you can't do that no more. I'm not trying to say that Jewish people own everything. I just think it's more of a white thing in general. And if you're black and you make a statement against white people, you're more likely to get fired because they own these companies and they can just fire you because they're like, you're not going to say that stuff about us. But with us, we don't own these companies. So they'll just be like, oh, okay, well, you said this, so we'll just give you a little slap on the wrist and then you can come back to work. I think that's going to change with time, especially with the Black Lives Matter movement pushing as strong as it is. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be able to get away with that anymore.
And see, that goes back to the podcast that, you know, I don't remember what number it was, but we had touched on this topic about how we need to, you know, own more. I remember I was speaking a lot about that topic because it is true. When there is ownership and there is a sense of – with ownership, there's a sense of entitlement. So when you own something, you own a business, you own a company, you own a team, you know, a sport team or whatever, you have some power over those that work for you. So with that being said is, you know, and with that power and with that knowledge of having the power over somebody, you feel like you can pull strings or you can pull, not feel like you can pull strings and you can do certain things and you can have people dance by your music. And so with black owned businesses and black owned companies and stuff like that, we will start to have some strings to pull. And I'm not saying we're going to use those strings to do negative in communities. That shouldn't be people's thought process. People's thought process shouldn't be, well, I want to get a black owned business so I can get back at, you know, the white owned company that, you know, didn't give me an opportunity, that didn't give my brother an opportunity or sister an opportunity or whatever the case may be. It should just be so I can help lift somebody else up, you know, somebody else that looks like me up. And I feel like that needs to be our thought process, getting into, you know, whatever the case may be, owning a team, owning a hockey team, owning, you know, a big company, a coffee company, like, you know, whatever the case may be. Just having some ownership, I think that will help us a lot, you know, as a black and brown community. Definitely. Most definitely. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're about to switch it up and I think we covered that topic pretty well. So we're about to move on to the next. We're all about building people up. Now we're about tearing people down. You know, that's how this podcast goes. We're very fickle. But we are going to talk about Kanye West and his shenanigans going on. So Kanye recently had a presidential rally in South Carolina. I heard that he was getting people to go out and get petitions for him signed so that he could get on the ballot for South Carolina. And he recently had a string of tweets. This is a whole nother topic, but, you know, people have been going in about him and Kim's relationship after that string of tweets where he was talking about Kim meeting up with Meek Mill and how that was not right. And he said some spiteful things about Kim's mother. I just really want to know what y'all think about this Kanye thing, because a lot of people are saying that we should be supportive of Kanye and not like supporting his ideas, but supporting that he goes get help. But there's another side of me that thinks, well, this is Kanye at this point. You know, Kanye comes out every album period and he has some new wacky promotion scheme that he comes up with. In 2016, when T-Lop was going to drop, he was talking about the presidential stuff too. He was talking about Kanye for president. Yeah, so now he has Donda coming up. So now he's doing all this other stuff. So do we think that we should really be seeking for Kanye to get help? Or do you think that this is just another, you know, Kanye stunt in general? Or is it a mixture of both? Go ahead, AC. You look fed up.
I am fed up. Like, it's just like, time after time, how much energy can we give this guy? Like, really, like, we give him an insane amount of energy for him doing the same things. Like, it's the same reoccurring problem every single time. He's about to drop an album. You have to look for a tweet that's going to be totally erratical. Like, it's just like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, it's it's Kanye one-on-one. You know, at this point, I don't even see it as like a mental breakdown. I just see it as he's just doing something to gain attention and, you know, just grab people's attention for the time being. That's all I see it as. You know, with the rally, I watched the video at the rally and him, you know, sitting there crying on stage or whatever he was doing. And the things he was saying, it was just like, it's insane. Like, he was talking about, you know, how Harriet Tubman didn't even free any slaves. So he just, like, took them.
That's a real fucking eye roller right there. Yep.
Like, it's crazy. Like, I don't know how people can just continue to listen to stuff that he says. The rhetoric that he said, you know, the rhetoric that he spews from his mouth, and just continue to ride with him and continue to give him energy.
What do you think, Ray? You holding back the laughs right now, bro?
I don't know what is up with this boy. As I say before, I'm a stan, but I can call this man out because even though I'm a stan, I do see faults in even his music nowadays. I see faults in the way he acts. It seems like, as Deadly's saying, every album this happens. Whether it's because it's for publicity, or it's just because he stops taking his meds, because I heard he said, or no, I didn't hear it. I watched the interview before, and he said that whenever he drops the album, or no, he said whenever he takes his meds, he feels like it takes away from his creativity.
And this was during the Yay KSG.
Mm-hmm, right? When he was going through all that. And it would make sense because he's thinking he's about to drop an album, or he's working on an album, and he might have stopped taking his meds, and he's starting to act out. Like, even the rally was crazy. He was breaking down, crying, talking about, I almost killed my daughter. I get what he was trying to say as far as, like, I almost had my wife have an abortion, and my dad almost did that to me. And it's like, wow. It's like, you're doing way too much, especially if you're trying to run for president. It looks kind of wild. Doesn't look kind of wild. It is wild. The statements he makes, he always makes a statement like, why are you talking about slavery again? You went through this with your last project, so why even make a statement like that and bring up an old thing where it's like, you're saying something that doesn't make sense. You supported Trump in the past, so it's like, then you're going out and making a statement on slavery when he's kind of associated with having bigoted views. It doesn't look good, man. And it's just like, why before every album you do this? I can't defend the man. I just think it just looks bad. Like, he apologized later for the tweets he made because he called, what's her name?
Is him.
It Chris? No. Chris. He's called her Chris Jung-un. He basically said that they're following white supremacy by silencing him or making statements without his permission. It's just like, why are you doing all this, bro? You're doing too much. Saying the movie Get Out was about him. It's funny, but at the same time, it's not funny. Because it's like, if he's really going through it mentally, bro, we can't be giving this man, like AC saying, a platform where we're just listening to his views and, like, supporting them. Like, he's obviously, if it is that, he's going through it right now. He needs to get some help. If it's for promotion, he doesn't need to do this. He's Kanye West. He doesn't need all this attention to get people to listen to his album. So I'm just confused, man. It's annoying.
Basically, what I'm thinking here is there's people that say that Kanye needs to go to help, right? I'm sure there's people in his inner circle, you know, people don't say that Kim doesn't love him like that, doesn't, you know, support him like that. There is definitely people in his circle that are telling Kanye that he needs to get help and stop doing this stuff. And Kanye is clearly not listening to that. I know Dave Chappelle flew out to go see Kanye the day after, like, all these tweets, and he went to go see him at his house. Like, there's people like that that are going to go help him. People also were saying that you need to be nice to Megan because of what she's going through. We were even saying that, right? But there's people in their inner circles that are telling them these things, that they're very supportive of them and all this. So it's not really up to us to be doing that. That's not our job. These are celebrities. We don't know them. They're ordinary people that just have a big platform. There's going to be people that are enabling Kanye constantly. There's going to be people that are avidly against Kanye constantly. And he knows this. He does this every single time he drops an album. I can't remember the last time I've been waiting for a Kanye project and it was about to come out and he didn't pull some bullshit. Motherfucker didn't even drop Yandy. Fuck that nigga for that. But, you know, it's just, it's not for us to say, really. Like, he obviously has, needs people to be there, support him and tell him to take his medication, all this to deal with his mental health, but that is not for us. What we can do, though, is observe what he's saying in the media and what he has been saying and what he, how he's been acting is really just out of line, outlandish, and that's what he's going to do every time. So if you think this is something new for Kanye, maybe you haven't been a Kanye fan for a while. But as Kanye fans for a long time, shit, my favorite album is fucking Graduation. I know what he does. I know that he goes through this stuff. I promise you he doesn't need any more help than he did before because he's been shit. He talked about his fucking mental health on Ye, right? So he's been going through this shit for a while. So that's just my overall thoughts on it. Just try not to give him attention if you can, but he's going to get attention regardless because he's fucking Kanye West.
Yeah, and he apologized to Kim for the tweets, but it's like, bro, you damn near insinuated that she was cheating on you with Meek Mill at a meeting about prison reform. Like, yeah, it just,
come on, man.
You did a lot. Like, you talked a lot of stuff, and we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't know how much their marriage is, you know, how some people think that celebrity marriages are fake or it's not real. Like, I don't know how much they spend time together. I don't know how much this is going to affect them. But if I'm assuming if your wife tweeted something about you like that in front of everybody, you'd be offended and you'd be pretty pissed off. But that's not for the public, bruh. No one knew about that. It was, I guess it's kind of funny because it's like people want to laugh at someone, but it's like, you shouldn't be giving that man attention because it's like, obviously he's going through it and that's not, you're damn near taking advantage of someone going through mental issues if that's the case. Mm. It could be trolling, but I don't know, bruh. It seemed like too much to be trolling. Maybe that's the stand in me, though.
Yeah, if you see Kanye tweeting, know that a project's coming out soon. You don't have to pay attention to anything that this man says. You just know that an album is coming out soon. Or he's going to, you know, screw you over again, just like Yandy. But that's for another time. Okay. All right. Anyways, we're going to retire that topic, and we're going to talk about somebody else's retirement. Logic has come out and said he is retiring after this next album. Now, we're going to talk about this album next time because, you know, I didn't really get all the way into it yet because, you know, I was kind of off put by his last album. Didn't really love that album per se. Kind of fucking hated it. But, you know, so I'll get into that next time. But Logic is retiring because, let's see, he says that it has been a great decade for his music. Now it's time to be a great father. I just wanted to retire because I'm over it. Not in a negative way. I'm just over it. Now I can be on Twitch, stream with my fans, have conversations with my fans, play video games with my fans, and make beats for my fans. So y'all think it was right timing? How do you really feel about rappers retiring in general? Because I feel like we don't really see that many people going out of their way to retire. They just kind of stop making music. They don't really announce it and leave themselves open to make music in the future. But do you think that it was the right time for Logic to finally hang up the hat?
As someone who was a fan of Logic back in the day when he was making mixtapes Under Pressure, ever since then, the last project I thought was solid was Tits, The Incredible True Story. And even then, I didn't really mess with that project heavy. I really was a fan of Logic during his mixtape days, like Young Sinatra, Welcome to Forever, even Young, Broken, Infamous. I think that's a solid mixtape. So I'm not trying to say he should retire, especially considering that this last album, I know we're not going to review it this week, but it was solid. I need to listen to it more. But for you, I guess, like, for you to say I need to take a step back and focus on my son, my family, and get away from the toxicity of the internet, I get it. I'm hoping he eventually comes back because, I mean, I'm not hoping. I damn near think he's going to come back because a lot of rappers say they're going to retire. Jay-Z said he was going to retire after Black Album. And look at him. He's way more albums in after that point. Too Short said it back in the day. They all say it. So it's really...
Nicki Minaj said it.
I don't know. It's up in the air. I don't know what he's going to do. But take your time off, man. I already was arguing that he needed to take a little break because he's been dropping albums down there every year, and they've been dropping the quality every time. The last album before this wasn't that good. It was damn near trash. So what do y'all think?
Well, I mean, he does. He's saying that he has a kid that he wants to focus on his child now. And he did get that fat bag from Twitch. Shout out Logic in that bag streaming. I did go to one of his concerts, and he was playing Mario Kart. And he beat who was playing in Mario Kart, whoever it was at the show. But I could toss that nigga in Mario Kart straight up. So maybe I should be streaming, honestly. He's not that good at video games. But you got that money because you a rapper and you go on Twitch. So
get that back.
Congrats on that, man. I'm glad you're retiring. It was well overdue. He said he will still be making music, but he's not using Logic anymore. So he's not going by that name. So I figure what... one of the quotes that I brought up from him where he said he's making beats for his fans. So he's going to make music like that. He says that that's his way to express himself. I know a lot of artists feel that way. So that's your journal. That's how you write down all of your thoughts and stuff. So he'll make stuff like that. But as far as commercially, he won't be dropping anything else. AC, you got any thoughts on Logic retirement? You got any memories, cherishable memories of Logic? You know that you miss the old day Logic. Like what's going on in your head?
I don't want to be alive. I don't. Okay, I'm just playing, bro. I'm just all right. I'm bored at that point. But hey, we'll cut that out.
No, we not.
I personally now hearing the reason why he's trying to leave music and you know kind of putting that on the back burner. I totally understand. Man, it's time to give energy where energy is needed. Like, you know, obviously music is something that he loves to do and loves to make. And I appreciate his talent and ability to make music, but you know, family is important. It's important to take care of your kids. And it's important for him to be that role model or father figure that kids need. You know, they need him around. They need him present. So not just around, they need him present. So that means being at their sporting events. That means being at home when they need help with homework or whatever it may be. So I'm happy that he made his decision to be present as a father. So I'm not mad at him for retiring. I thank him for his talent and his ability to make music. I've enjoyed some music by him. And I'll continue to, you know, spin his records, spin some old stuff that he had, you know, and I appreciate it. So I'm happy he's putting it on the back burner.
Soul Food, Under Pressure, man. I miss those days, man. Life was simpler in those days. Young Sinatra mixtape, man. Logic was actually good. Sad.
Well, if you guys didn't know what's going on, Portland has been having a big fight going on as far as who's in power and what's going on, because federal agents or federal troops have been deployed out there, and there's been a lot of protests still going on out there, as there has been going on in many states of the United States. Mm-hmm. Even though the media has not been covering it, it's been people still fighting for our rights and fighting for us to be treated as equal citizens in the United States. There's been a lot of tear gassing going on. For example, the mayor of Portland was tear gassed, and there was a video floating around on Twitter and other social media sites where he was basically giving a speech saying, like, what is going on? This isn't what's supposed to be happening. We're peacefully protesting, and we're still getting tear gassed. We're still getting our rights violated. There's federal troops going out here picking up people unidentified as far as the vehicles go and just taking them away without reading them their rights or anything. It's been an ugly sight. And I wanted to ask y'all, what is y'all opinion on the crazy situation that's going on in Portland? And AC, I think you have something to say, so I want to start with you.
Well, well, there's many aspects to talk about when we're talking about the situation. I think that it's crazy that it's came to this, and you know, when people are out there just fighting for what's right, fighting for what's important, and the fact of the matter is we have people that truly just don't care about the movement. You know, the sad reality is they just don't care about people out there positively looking for a change in our communities and the change in our society. And so you have people like, you know, the soldiers that are out, the police officers that are out there that are kind of stirring up even more anger and even more, you know, violence. And that's the problem. It's just like a continual cycle. You have a mix of those who are out there practicing their rights to protest and doing it peacefully. And then you have a small select few of, you know, of people out there that aren't out there for the right thing. You know, it's unfortunate to see how one little small group, microscopic group, you know, can change and drive a whole narrative. And I feel like that's what we're seeing in Portland. You don't hear a lot about those that are out there just doing their due diligence in supporting a cause. As for who has control over, you know, the city and whatnot, you know, obviously by looking at those videos, you can tell who is controlling what. You know, it's just it's a simple fact of, you know, the army and the police they're bullying the city, they're bullying the communities, and that's not what it's supposed to be. They're supposed to be here to serve and protect, and right now it's not even, you know, they're not doing anything but bullying the people out there. I was watching a video where a veteran, you know, who's out there speaking for change and, you know, talking about the things that the United States has wrongly done in their past. And, you know, he was just blatantly pepper sprayed. I mean, from point blank range. I mean, that stuff, I mean, just right in his face, just pepper sprayed him right in his face.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, instead of hearing and listening to what he's saying, your first line of defense is to just spray with pepper spray, hit somebody with a baton, shove them back with a shield, and that gets us nowhere. You know, we have to learn how to actively listen. I feel like a lot of people aren't actively listening, and that goes for both sides. I feel like there's needs to people, lessons to be learned and things to be heard on both sides. And that's what I don't see happening in Portland. I see a lot of great voices that are trying to, you know, speak and make change, but the ears aren't open. They're just closed.
Well, I mean, I think just in general, the police or federal agents are completely fed up with the situation. This has been going on for, 63 days now? And yeah. At least the protests have. So they have gotten to the point where it feels like they are no longer able to listen to anybody. I saw a video of a veteran coming up and talking to police or federal agents about what he did in Vietnam and about how they were just following orders and doing what they were told, and he regretted it later, and how he saw that the atrocities that he had committed, and he was trying to bring light to the fact that the officers are doing the exact same thing, where they are just following orders, but you're committing an atrocity against these people. These people don't deserve to not be listened to. They don't deserve to be tear gassed at sight and pepper sprayed. And that's why they're fighting back. You see people with umbrellas, shields. They're throwing tear gas back at the federal building where the police are trying to keep them out of. It's like 1,000 people every night that are coming out to do this. They're there for a reason. They're coming to hopefully so that you hear them and to withdraw the troops. There was an issue from the governor that they were going to start withdrawing, phasing out federal troops and replacing them with state officers. But, you know, it feels like almost a little too late that they're now just starting to listen. Like, how long does it take for somebody to be yelling at you and telling you you're doing the wrong thing for you to hear them and realize that? Finally, yeah. Took somebody in power, I guess, to wise up and see that this is going nowhere. You're not going to subdue the people, no matter how much you try to fearmonger somebody. If somebody thinks that something is right and they're set in their ways of something is wrong here, which it clearly is, why the fuck are they protesting for 63 straight days? Then, you know, you should listen to the people, and hopefully reform is coming to Portland, but especially across the United States as far as police go.
I just think it's scary what's going on. And like I said earlier, if the mayor of Portland is getting tear gassed, anybody can get it. Because they're getting away with tear gassing him. And there's going to probably be nothing that's going to happen because they were protesting and it's the police or the federal agents versus the community out there. And what's really scary is that they're thinking about deploying these agents in Oakland and Chicago. Oakland is close to home. If that starts to happen, I don't know how those people will react. Oakland isn't I'm not trying to say Portland is like goody-goody, super peaceful, but I don't think they're going to handle it as well as Portland has. And that's not to say Portland has handled it pretty well, obviously, with what's going on. So I don't want this to be a standard. Whether the president is involved, obviously he is, because he's one of the people that's supporting deploying these people out here.
Oh, he was the one who said shoot them on sight. So
yeah, that's what I mean. I don't want it to get violent, and it's damn near any violent the way it is. I mean, they're beating people with batons. They're tear gassing them, whether you think that's fine or not. I don't think that's okay. You know, we're dealing with right now a virus that affects your respiratory system, and you're out here tear gassing people who are peacefully protesting. I'm not saying everyone is, but come on. I think they're trying to send a message that if you're out here protesting for something that is about Black lives, that you will be harmed and you need to stay inside. And that's why it's dope that we still have people fighting out here, because they don't care. And they're like, fuck it, it's worth fighting for. Only reason why I'm not protesting and I haven't been protesting is because the virus, and I want to stay safe and I don't want to get my family affected. I don't know if you want to think that selfish, I guess, but I just think that it's crazy we have all this shit going on and we still got to fight for our rights, as we said earlier. And I'm hoping that as awareness to what's going on in Portland goes on, we don't have this going on in my state. I don't want this to spread out here and they start sending federal troops out here in Oakland because people are still protesting for our rights. That's not cool, bro. Like, nah, bro. We not going to let that fly out here. And I don't think it's going to fly as peacefully. Even though it's not flying peacefully in Portland, I think it's going to be worse out here if that happens. So something's got to give, bro. Like, this isn't right.
Yeah, I just want to, commend people in Portland doing what they're doing. I think, I hope that it sends a message to the government that, this is not the answer to how to deal with a situation like this. It never has been to further antagonize people who already feel oppressed and are speaking up against that, especially in USA, where you say that there's freedom of speech. Well, it doesn't really seem like there is freedom of speech at this point. And people are trying to hold on to power that shouldn't even be there. There shouldn't be this discrepancy between the people and the government. So I hope that the government wises up and stops using these abusive tactics against the people, trying to silence people, trying to antagonize people, and just starts listening, because that's really the only thing that's going to help this change whatsoever, is making or enacting bills, laws, whatever you need to do to help people out and to make people feel like they're equal, because you're not doing enough. You're not doing really anything at all. What was the last media thing that they showed, really? Was it Nancy Pelosi fucking kneeling with her fucking stupid ass, what is that called?
I don't know.
Shit. Okay. All right. Well, she had some weird shit going on, right? And she's kneeling, she's putting on a show for the media. She really didn't do much. Nobody really did much. It was a lot of just like, here you go, here's some little things, eat up your crumbs and you take that and you be happy now. And then they come out here and then they still have federal troops. And then you're talking about, they're thinking about putting them in Oakland, they're thinking about putting them in Chicago. That's not going to help anybody. And I get what you're saying. People in the Bay, we're built different. We're not going to let this shit fly, especially not here. It is not going to fly. People are going to go fucking nuts. There's going to be hell. So, that's all I really have to say. And the mayor getting tear gas, obviously, that's fucking ridiculous. It really shows that there's people higher up who really want to see this go down. like Donald Trump or somebody else in the government, and it doesn't really matter about who's a leader in the community, blah, 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 blah. You're still going to get smoked regardless.
It's called a Kente shawl. That's what you're talking about.
Okay, yeah. Nancy Pelosi with the Kente shawl on her neck. I didn't mean to say stupid shit. What she was doing was stupid.
Yeah, I didn't want to say nothing in the middle of that. I was like,
yeah, I was just kind of worked up, my bad.
I mean, they did make it look like stupid shit the way they were kneeling and wearing it. Like, it's
that's supposed
to make us to vote for them or, like, to make them. Like, y'all are in the government, bruh. Create change. Don't just kneel with that shit on to make us feel like, yo, we're for the cause. Like, literally, it's kind of eerie the way they go up there and talk about systematic racism when y'all are in the government and can create the change that we need. Like, why are y'all... I get it. I guess it's because it's hella Republicans in the House. And it's like, well, we can't really... It's like, the fact that y'all literally acknowledge systematic racism when y'all are up there talking, but nothing that's just official has been hella changed. I mean, there has been certain changes, but it's like for example, we got Breonna Taylor's murderer still out there. Nothing has happened. They created a law for that shit. What? Why do you create a law and just let these motherfuckers go free? You just fire one of them.
Yeah, fucking ridiculous. We got on businesses and stuff for being performative. Our government is fucking performative. Performative as fuck. They really don't care. They just, you know, kind of dance around and try to put on a good show, try to make people happy, and it doesn't fucking work because you're not doing anything real. We are going to transition into music. We're going to talk about some music topics now. I know that was pretty heavy. Let's get this show on. Being a J. Cole fan, might as well dive into his two singles they dropped. It was a single pack, like a lot of rappers have been doing recently, named Lewis Street Single. Two tracks, 9 minutes long, The Climb Back and Lion King on Ice. What are you guys' overall thoughts on this single pack that we got?
I wasn't greatly impressed, it coming from J. Cole, to be honest. I did definitely like The Climb. The Climb Back is definitely better, in my opinion, than Lion King on Ice. I just didn't enjoy like the hook on Lion King on the Ice. It's kind of like a singing type of vibe to it, and I wasn't really feeling that. So The Climb Back, that gets my, you know, favorite over the other. But it really wasn't true J. Cole to me. I don't feel like it was like, you know, him in there in his bag really rapping like he usually does. I think this was kind of lazy and kind of just something to put out. And I'm thinking this is like something that's like a throwaway that's not going to be on the album. And I feel like that's why he put it out, just to give his audience a little taste of what is to come. Like, his music is coming. So like, here's like a little taste, a little teaser. This is not, you know, what I'm coming with, but you know, here's something. That's what I felt like it was. Just like a, here, I know y'all are hungry. Here's some crumbs. That's how I see it as.
I wouldn't say that I was unimpressed. It just was like, it was like, solid tracks. I like The Climb Back better just because I like when J. Cole gets in his introspective, deep thought. I just want to wrap my ass off for a track bag. Like, when he does that, he shows why he is one of the top rappers in the mainstream right now, because he can switch it up and do the catchy stuff. He can also do the really introspective. I'm not saying it's the deepest stuff, but it's like, he can rap his ass off. He can hold your attention for more than 2 to 3 minutes like some of these rappers can. And I mess with both of these singles. I liked I like The Climb Back more. The Lion King on Ice, it was solid. The only thing is, like, it's the catchy, as Deadly was saying when we were talking about it, the middle child slash, like, I'm not saying it's a radio, like, he's going for a radio hit like he was on the song The Workout, but it's like, he's chilling, just, you know, making a catchy hook, making a catchy melody, and also staying true to the rap. Like, he's not just throwing out some bullshit. But The Climb Back hit way harder. Like, 5 minutes, him just going in. And I love it when he does that. And I need more of that for this album.
God, I keep starting with them. So, I think I kind of agree more with AC just on that they weren't that impactful to me. I think that
J. Cole was very capable of giving an impactful verse. Not to say that his lyricism wasn't great or anything on both the tracks. I think the climb back is definitely more lyrically potent in general. But I don't think that these were all that impressive of songs, especially as being a single pack. Now, I don't really expect these to be on the album. It is just a single pack that, you know, people drop. But we got a single pack from Joey Badass, and that shit was amazing, bro. Like, J. Cole is supposed to be one of the top rappers in the game. You should be giving me something that wows me every single time I listen to it. And I just didn't get that from these projects. I think that the climb back was a bit more introspective and definitely the better track of the two. It just wasn't anything that, like, I'm going to come back and listen to time and time again. I'd much rather listen to something from J. Cole in the past. I'd rather listen to Born Sinner or fucking Rich Niggas. Like, I'd rather listen to 2014, Forest Hill Drive, Fire Squad. So it's not getting me super excited for this next project, which is another reason why I think J. Cole shouldn't retire, because I don't know if this project is going to be the best of the best that he's ever released. And I think that he's still on his way back to going to the best of the best that he can be. He's still trying to find that. So are they worth checking out? Yes. Is it anything that's going to shock you or wow you or be like, wow, I really missed when J. Cole was releasing singles? No. I got the same feeling when I was listening to Middle Child as well. They're not hits. They're not really anything in general that's super deep. So, not really for me.
Damn, y'all hating J. Cole right now. Okay.
I mean, but it's not a hate thing. I feel like it's more of a, like, we see him as a prominent leader in the rap game, someone who is definitely looked upon in terms of putting out great music, and sometimes he just lets us down. And like you guys said, there's not a certified classic. You know, he does not have a certified classic album. And for someone who with his stature in the rap game, there should be at least one to maybe two that he has. And like Lee said, you know, he's putting out tracks that, like, you when I'm looking for a J. Cole track, I'm looking for something that's gonna wow me every time. Like, when I hear Kendrick's putting out a track, I'm expecting that to wow me every single time he puts something out. So that's why it's crazy when people try to put them both on the same pedestal. It's not comparable. I'm not making this a compare thing like it always has been, but it's just not. It just shows you that it's not comparable.
Yeah.
J. Cole is an amazing artist, but it just shows you how great Kendrick is. I'm not trying to turn this into a, you know, Kendrick stan, but whatever that means. I still don't even know what stan is, but I just used it. But what I'm saying is Lee had he hit the nail on the head. He does not put out music that wows us every single time, and that's a problem that J. Cole has. Now, hopefully, with this last album that he's about to put out, hopefully it wows us, though, you know, and this is a great, great way to go out. That's what I'm hoping for. That's just what I got hopes for now.
Yeah, it's definitely a problem as you listen to an artist over and over again, as listen to them throughout the years. Sometimes doing the same thing works for them. Sometimes it really does not work for them. And J. Cole, he tried to do something different with 4 Years Only, and he tried to do something different with KOD. Those both did not work out. And he kind of, it just feels like he just goes back into the same bag where he feels comfortable every time. He doesn't really try anything new that works out at this point. So, but if I listen to a Kendrick song, a new single that Kendrick puts out, he's always trying something new, and it's always exciting, and it's always something that I'm going to add to my playlist. I'm always going to have on rotation. So maybe I'm just a Kendrick's number one fan, but, you know, people compare him to him all the time, so it's just I kind of have to do that for fairness' sake, just so that some people can, you know, gauge it properly, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I'm going to talk about a single pack that I really like, and that is from my man, the creator of Before the Money, creator of Mixtape 1999, creator of All American Badass, Joey the motherfucking Badass, dropped a three single pack on us, on our heads, a bomb. Woo, this nigga got push on here. Oh my God. I'm gonna talk about this first. Just let me go. The light is a track just talking about, you know, Joey coming back. He's coming back. He's giving you all he's got, right? He took a minute to get his mind right, and now he's coming back to you with a ferocity. You could definitely tell on these tracks. The beat selections on The Light and Shine are amazing. I particularly like Shine the most, the Shine sample that he picks. Oh my God, man. It just, the sound that comes out of Brooklyn just gives me chills whenever I listen to it. I love The Light. I love Shine. No explanation was kind of a poor beat selection, and I don't think that Pusha T really gave us what I think he needed to give us on this single. However, this is about Joey. Joey came in with some slick bars. He was charismatic. He was funny at times, and he was really just showing you that he still got his stuff. It does not matter if he hasn't released in 4 years, even though he did have that Beast Coast tape that he dropped. I didn't really get enough from that, but... Man, three songs, 8 minutes. What more could you want from Joey besides an album?
Yeah, I was about to say, I want a full album. But I'll take the three pack for right now, you know what I'm saying? But my life, my life, my life, my life in the sunshine. That's like Roy Ayers, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. That shit was amazing.
He's a little too young for that. He's a little too young for that.
I love the sample, nigga. I know where it's from. Fuck you.
How come you didn't... How can we just say the great man's name? Roy Ayers. How can we didn't say his name? Come on,
maybe,
now.
Maybe I got to leave you some talking points, bro.
Oh, right, right. Okay. Don't be disrespectful. Don't be disrespectful, okay? But, man, thank you, Joey, for this. It's been a long wait. We've been looking for you. We didn't know where you was. We thought you retired. Speaking about all this retirement, I thought you retired with all this. You know, taking forever to drop something. But I got to go with, you know, I appreciate Lee's great detailed explanation on this whole thing. And, you know, he dissected this whole little three pack. No explanation. I mean, Pusha T comes in and he does his thing as usual. He comes in, he kills the track, and you add Joey in the mix too. What more can you ask for? Like, it's fire. The Shine, you know, well, Shine, but this is the sample. Like Deadly said, I mean, this. What more can you say? What more can you say, bro? Like, I mean, you got Roy Ayers in the background, and it's a beautiful sample. Joy on there killing it with the vocals, with the bars too. So, I mean, I appreciate it. I'm just happy he gave us something. So, you know, with Deadly asking, what more can you ask for? Now I'm just looking for a whole album. I'm just waiting for this man to come out with some fi.
Yeah, Sarsky, give me that album, Joey. Please, nigga, I need it.
That's all I'm looking for. I just need that whole album. Actually, The Light really was probably my least favorite track.
Boo this man.
Nigga, what?
Yeah. Boo this man.
I'll tell you how it goes. It goes no explanation, The Shine, and then The Light. That's my order. I mean, that's how I feel about it.
You just set me in the shock. I see you on the floor, bro.
But I mean, did I say it was not good? I didn't say it was not good. I just tell you how my lineup goes.
Bruh. What?
I just can't agree, that's all.
That's fine.
I admit I was gone for a minute. It's like I lost my glow, yo. My inner light was dimming. Now I got my mojo back. Joe don't know how to act like. He was spitting on that shit. I don't know
from
what you're talking about.
Very first.
That set the tone of the whole little single pack. Like,
yes, sir.
I'm not going to say no explanation was a dud or anything, but it's just like, for you to do a track with Pusha T, I don't know why. Maybe it's just because Pusha T's been killing everything. Maybe it's because it's like them collabing and I haven't heard them collab before. It's just like, I was expecting them to just kill it. And like Deadly said, the beat, didn't hit me as hard as I expected. I'm not trying to say it was like a trash beat or anything. It just, the light was fucking a tone setter. Like the light, the like, I, if that's going to be on the album, I feel like that would be a perfect, almost like an intro. Like basically like I'm coming back to set shit straight. Like I'm Joey Badass. Y'all motherfuckers can't fuck with me still. The only line I did like on it was that mumble rap extermination shit. Like I get what he was trying to do, but like you've been gone for so long. Like, just let those niggas live and just focus on yourself. Like, I get what he's trying to say.
Nah, yeah. Don't let them niggas live, bro. If he wants to call out the niggas for being trash, we'll be remembered for being trash, but bro.
Mumble rap.
It sounds corny.
Yeah, that mumble rap term is not as, like, people don't really go out their way to say that's mumble rap anymore because I feel like we've moved past that. If you just say it, especially because you do, huh?
I get what you're saying. Like, it's like, okay, we move past that. We get this mumble rap. But I feel like if you coming out as the greatest, you calling out anybody. I don't care who it is, bro. I don't care if we said this a million times, bro. He calling folks out. So that's how I see it. I don't see he should edit that out or not say it because y'all feel like it's corny, bro. That nigga just calling people out.
I don't know, bro. It's kind of like when Gangstar dropped that track with Cole and he was like, your rhyming is a world of crap. It's just like unnecessary, bro. Like, just come in, show us that you back, show us what you doing, and we like, oh shit, this nigga's back with some heat. Okay,
I mean,
you don't need to talk about anybody else. The
difference with Guru though is that he's passed away, so probably was just like an old recording. He wasn't really talking about mumble rap, but it fits with today because
no, Gangstar, nigga.
Yeah, Gangstar Guru is part of that group, and he's passed away, so it's an old recording, so I don't really see it as him dissing mumble rap. It's just him saying, like, my bars are better. This nigga is alive. He's still younger, so it's like, you're going out your way to diss your peers, and I get it, but it's like, the whole mumble rap thing, like, I never was one of those people that's like, these dudes are mumble rappers. I just thought their rhymes were trash. So it's like for you nowadays, even when that's kind of, we're moved past that phase, we've accepted it. It's like, I don't know. You didn't have to go out there to mention that. My favorite track is The Shine. I just love that sample as you were talking about earlier. The light, if you were just talking about like rapping and bars, I can see why someone would say The Light is their favorite track. But I don't know. I just like the sample and the way Joey wrote that beat on The Light.
Yeah, no.
I mean, sure. Shine, The Shine. Sorry, The Shine.
Yeah, for sure. So, I like the visuals and the light too, like him reclaiming his light and shit in the music video. So
yeah, that was dope as fuck. That was dope. I'm saying like these singles, none of them really totally miss. So I'm excited to see what he drops for a project. Like,
bruh, I hope to God that these are not on the album, just so that we get a whole new set of music and I'm just like blown the fuck away, because you know every time that Joey is dropped, man, just 1999 absolute classic mixtape. I would damn near argue as a personal classic that Before the Money is one in itself as well. I that album is amazing to me, and then literally right after that he drops All American Badass, just pretty much right after Kendrick drops To Pimp a Butterfly. So the political commentary is there, the bars are there, the flow is there, the old Brooklyn sound is there. There's nothing to not love about Joey Badass and not be excited for. And then just this single pack on top of it. He's just one of my favorites. I love him so much. Thank God he's back. Thank God he's back.
Yeah. Welcome back, Joey. Hopefully you drop an album soon this year. Especially if Kendrick's going to be lacking.
Oh, fuck. Don't even get me started on this shit, man. Anyways, I'm going to talk about some other people that are coming back from the dead. Not really. They've been dropping music. Kid Cudi, Eminem, you know. The Adventures of Moon Man and Slim Shady single. I know Carter turned off the music as soon as Eminem came on. That nigga was not having it. Period. Said fuck that shit.
Pretty much.
Eminem, please stop, bro. Just, I mean, he didn't do it. It wasn't an atrocious job on that track, but I mean, and we don't want to hear you no more, man. You need to retire. you need to retire and just go and just take your winnings from 2001 and just collect them and just don't come back, man. That's it. Like, we appreciate what you did in the past, but stop trying to come back and make young people like you. Like, it's not it, bro. Hip hop, I don't feel like hip hop loves you no more. I'm just gonna say that.
Society has progressed past the need for Eminem to make rap songs anymore.
It just has. It just has. You know,
I mean, I agree that I don't want to hear from Eminem anymore, really. But Kid Cudi, I'll listen to Kid Cudi track. Kid Cudi did, yep. The beat was really cool. It really matched Cutter well. In general, I think he came pretty nice on the whole thing, the way he wrote it. If you listen to Leader of the Delinquent single, kind of similar vibe, rapping style as that. It's not like really anything psychedelic. It's not really anything that's like super psychedelic or anything. He's just giving you some bars. It was passable. And then you had Eminem come on and same thing. He was passable. He didn't try to do anything that was super corny with his like super technical rap ability where he's flexing on everybody with how good he can rap. He just kind of rode the beat nicely. He had some cool bars. He doesn't smoke weed. We get it. Cool, bro. He came off kind of charming and kind of funny. So I appreciate that. I appreciate you not giving me another fucking rap god clone and Godzilla. But yeah, like AC said, we don't need you no more, bro. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead, Ray. I know you're Eminem stan, so.
I'm not Eminem stan. I just don't really go out my way to hate on him because of what he's done for the game. And even though he's been dropping albums that I don't heavily mess with, Music to Be Murdered By was a solid album as far as like a comeback from what he had been dropping. Kamikaze was all right too, but even then, like, he hasn't been hitting with me. I feel like this track was better than I expected because the thing is with Kid Cudi, you don't know what you're going to get. With Eminem, you don't know what you're going to get. You can get him just rapping his ass off for no reason and the lines don't connect. I feel like he did a solid job. Like, he wasn't just rapping just to rap. He actually stayed on point. He did a solid job on the track. Kid Cudi was the leader of the track because it was his vibe. It's not something I'm going to play hella. It's not something I'm going to say this is like a really good Kid Cudi track. But they did solid together. And it was better than I expected. And I appreciate that. Do I think Eminem needs to retire? I don't know. Maybe just stick to features like this. It don't drop another solo album because I'm not trying to hate on Eminem, but I agree with y'all on the fact that he isn't what he used to be. And it's sad to see sometimes when he drops songs and they completely fall on his face. I still haven't forgiven him for Revival. That album was complete trash. It damn near made me break down. Not literally, but I damn near was like, this is like, you're too good to be dropping shit like this. And it's good to see him not dropping shit like that no more. He learned his lesson, hopefully. And either he drops another album and is solid, or you just do features. I don't know if I want you to retire, though, because you hold a spot in the game that people obviously demand. Whenever he drops, people stream it. They don't care. So, bro, I don't know.
Kamikaze surpassed 2 billion streams.
That's what I fucking mean. Like, Eminem is eating no matter what people say. He holds a great fan base, whether it's because he's white, like some people argue, or just because people like his music. I don't know what it is. Do you, man? And you're a legend, so you earned that.
You know what? Don't listen to what me and AC said. You know, you getting 2 billion streams on a trash album? Shit, man, I'd be making that shit too. I don't give a fuck. You know, if nobody liked this fucking podcast, and we were still getting shit 1 million plays an episode, I'd be doing this shit too. Fuck it, man. Get your check. Whatever.
Yeah, I feel like the hip hop community has kind of turned on Eminem as far as like definitely the super, like, I'm in love with hip hop. I think I'm not trying to be stereotypical, but I think a lot of people that still listen to Eminem are the white fans of hip hop that love Eminem no matter what, which is fine. Support who you support. But I notice whenever I talk to someone with a little bit of melanin in their skin, they don't usually mess with Eminem anymore. And I think that's a sign. So, but do you, man. You're getting streams. And you're not complete trash. You know, I'm not gonna like. I love Jay-Z, but Jay-Z has dropped some duds ever since the Black Album, like I said earlier, where you said he was gonna retire. So every great has a period, maybe where they kind of fall off, and maybe you're gonna start to come back. But I don't know. I don't really see it like that. Maybe just stick to features, like I say for Lil Wayne. And it's crazy that y'all, Lil Wayne and Eminem were like really like a pair at one point. So it's crazy to see them both at that point where I'm like, maybe just do features.
I don't really see any need for them to make anything else at this point. I think both have proven their mettle, and this is a young man's game. What is rap music? It's a young man's game. It's always has been. People have come back and dropped stuff. Tribe Called Quest dropped an album not too long ago, and you know they still have it. They're still good, but are people really checking for it like that? Nope. Old heads.
I'm not an old head. I'm only 22.
Nigga, you an old head. It don't matter which
old head. I have old head music days, but I'm not an old head. Fuck
you. You got old head tendencies, man. I was called an old head. I ain't even. Nah, bro. Just because I like Snoop Dogg.
Okay, they tripping.
Yeah.
Snoop Dogg is still kind of relevant, so I don't know about that. I'm not saying Eminem is it, but it's a totally different game.
Yes, sir. We're going to switch up the vibes on y'all real quick. I know y'all been dying for our commentary on some R&B. Got that Snow Allegra. AC is distraught. He don't want to talk about no love making music. This nigga about the action. He ain't about talking about it.
Be about that action, boss. Be about that action. Well, I'll speak on it first, so y'all can get my take out of the way, because I know y'all about to go in on it. I really just don't. I don't mess with slow jams like that. That's not a was getting the mood love song. I'm not. But I mean, you know, shout out to her. She's doing her thing. You know,
this nigga listens to old soul all the time, but he ain't about love making music.
I'm talking about current R&B. I'm not hip on current R&B.
You're not gonna disrespect Snow like this. I'm not gonna let you slide. She is the one right now. Like, I'm not going to let you slide like this. You're not going to disrespect the queen like this. Like, she is on a roll, bro. And for you to say this shit, nah, that's not going to slide, my nigga. This is not going to slide. We not going to let that slide. AC.
I'm a new R&B. I can't lie.
You need to get on that new R&B, bro.
All right,
bro. Deadly, should I go or should I let you go?
I'm interested in hearing what you guys think about this,
though. I'm not going to say much. I think it was a cool vibe all the way through. I did not get too many listens, so there's not really much I can say. I know Ray is mad at me because he was standing Snow this entire week. But she is cool. She's definitely something that you should check out. It is a she has her own unique style. Her voice is not anything that I think you're really going to get from anybody else in some type of new R&B. She delivers her own stuff. And it's just something you put on when you're in the mood for, you know, talking to somebody you love. You dying for their love, literally. So,
oh my gosh.
I want Eric to, oh my bad. I want Ray Love to really go in on this, though.
Look, guys, maybe it's because I loved their last album. Of These Feels was one of my favorite projects of last year. I got a lot of replay value from those songs. I Want You Around and Nothing to Me were bangers. I was playing those throughout the year. I feel like her vibe is so dope. Like, I don't know what it is. She reminds me of Sade. She gives me those old school vibes. I love her whole aesthetic, you know, the way she does things. I feel like she's No ID is executive producer on the albums or on that album. No ID is executive producer of the album and of that album. And I think that's why it was so good, because I'm not saying it had a hip hop vibe, but the beats really hit for me, and her voice. It's really soothing and it's really good, but she's talking about her emotions, whether it's a breakup, whether it's a love that's not matched. It's really dope, and I love the production on this track. Shout out to P2J, He killed this shit. She killed the video. The video was dope. Her voice just was smooth on the track. I could relate to the lyrics on the track right now. You know, she said, are we supposed to be still talking every day when everything between us just completely changed? Bro, that shit hit, bro. That shit, I don't get how y'all niggas don't feel this shit, bro. Like, this shit, I don't know what it is, bro. Maybe it's her voice. Maybe it's the way she delivers it. But this track was hitting for me. It has me excited for the album. She's definitely good at getting me in my feels a little bit with her lyrics. The track didn't have heavy rotation for me, and it has me excited for the album. I don't think at this point I want to wait until she has a miss. Because like I said, that last album was banging for me. I don't know what y'all niggas was sleeping on. I think I wanted to review it, but y'all was capping for some reason. Y'all was not ready for it. And man, y'all sleeping, man. That's all I gotta say, bro. You sleeping. This is not, nah, bro. She is dope, bro. Y'all niggas is disrespectful.
Somebody
hard on an R&B track, bro.
Somebody edited in cricket noises.
Bro. R&B is dope. What you talking about? You acting like R&B isn't dope nowadays. There's certain artists that do it really well. You telling me Frank Ocean isn't dope as fuck? I'm not saying she's in the same lane as Frank Ocean, but come on, brothers. Every once in a while, an R&B artist is making some dope shit, and I think she's doing that right now, especially for female R&B. Fuck the female R&B, like me putting her in the female R&B lane. She's doing it, period.
AC, you just an old head, nigga.
You just want to listen to some 90s R&B or some 80s shit.
Nigga, put on some Marvin Gaye and this dude chilling.
Nah,
but no love shit though. No love music.
This is dope, man. I think y'all niggas sleeping a little bit.
Don't like me, nobody.
And when this album come out, I don't want no excuses. Nobody. We talking about it this time. She's a queen, and we talking about it. We covering this shit. All right, that's all I'm saying.
Dummy, this new R&B like that Key Sweat.
Mm-mm. All right, man, we gotta get off this because y'all niggas debating R&B and shit now. You know,
I'm getting into it now. You telling me this new R&B like that Keith Sweat?
You comparing Snow Allegra to Keith Sweat? It's not even the same shit, bro. This is new. This is 2020. We're not doing that no more. And even then, she's giving me a vibe. Like I said, I compared her to Sade, but she's not completely like Sade. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying. Her whole aesthetic, the way she delivers herself, she keeps it classy, and she delivers lyrics that get you in your feels in a good way. I feel like she's really good at I don't know what it is, bro. It just works for me, man. Y'all niggas hating. That's all I gotta say.
You called her a vibe, pink toe vibe and a condo. All right. Anyways, shit. Another single that dropped came from another end of the R&B spectrum. He's more rap though. Smino dropped Baghetti featuring JID, produced by Kenny Beats. What did y'all think about this single? Go ahead.
The hook and JID carried the single. Smino, I've been saying it. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I'm still waiting for a track to come hit me like Z4L. I'm still waiting for that track to come, but it ain't hit yet. It ain't hit yet. He's coming with some nice stuff, and this was a good single. I won't say it wasn't, but I mean, if you're gonna put out a song and you're not even the leading role on the song, bro, like you gotta go back to the drawing board and figure out what you need to do, how you need to improve. But overall, it was a good song. I would say overall it was a good song. The hook, I'll definitely listen to it again. Had me bopping a little bit, moving in my chair. So it has a good vibe about it. You know what I'm saying? It's upbeat. I'm definitely getting that vibe of like, you know, I'm chilling, you know, I'm cruising or whatever, doing what I'm doing. And the song comes on, I'm feeling good. It's a good feel-good track. So out of all I just said, I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, Lee's trying to kill us at the end, you know, because he's gonna break it down. But I think Smino has been on a roll. I like that she decided to mixtape. I'm about to download that shit and finally get it on my Apple Music because I'm tired of streaming it on SoundCloud or Audio Mac. I think I'm excited for the next album because I feel like he's totally found his own sound and his own pocket. I think AC's a little sleep because Black Swan, I didn't really like, I think it's Noir that much. I mean, it's not that I didn't like it that much, but I didn't like it as much as Black Swan. I feel like that album was in its own lane. He had his own sound. I don't know if it's a classic per se, but it's like, that shit, it don't really have a lot of misses. It just flowed pretty well to me. You know? And I think this album, I'm hoping he could drop an album on that level. Again, is Black Swan a mixtape or is it an album? I don't even know.
It's hella songs, so I'm just gonna call it an album.
Okay, well, either way, that shit flows so well. And after Noir, I think he can drop another project like that. Like, I think he can get back in his bag. And the, like AC saying, the hook was fire on this. I feel like JID though took the track over because he just can, like, I'm not trying to, like, people compare him to Kendrick, which is fine, but like, I can see what they're saying because Kendrick got to the point where he could flow over anything, I think, at this point. And JID is definitely getting to that point where it's just like, you throw a beat in front of him, he's going to massacre it. He's just going to flow on it, and it's going to be hard to keep up with him. I'm not saying he killed Smino, but it's just like, bruh. Like, literally, like, bruh, like, what can this man not do? I'm excited for his album because, like, after DiCaprio 2, that was a dope little project, but it was damn near like, it gave me like mixtape slash like in between project vibes because he had just got signed. So whatever he drops next, I think it's going to be crazy. I think he's trying to prove that. He's trying to prove he's next up. But Smino did his job. Man, I miss my dogs. Like the beat went on it hard. Like it definitely was a solid track. I messed with it. It's been getting a little rotation for me. No, I have no complaints.
First and foremost, JID, where's the fucking album, nigga? I need the fucking album. DiCaprio 2, one of my favorites from 2018. Secondly, Kenny Beats, you fucking killed this beat. This beat is fire all the way through. I know that JID rapped his fucking ass off. This man's flows are expert. You know, his wordplay is expert. Just speeding up and slowing down at will on the track, on his verse, just absolutely masterful. However, Smino delivered a much needed vibe throughout the track with his singing. I like how JID starts off the chorus and then it kind of switches up and then it goes straight into what Smino's doing, and he provides that little singing, those vocals that just needed to, you know, tie it all together. So I don't think that JID could have this track as good if he didn't have Smino on it. Now, Smino's verse was weaker. It was shorter. But I'm not really expecting anybody to keep up with JID on any beat because, shit, what happened in Revenge of the Dreamers 3? Did that nigga fall behind on any song? Did he not take over every song? I think that anything that people were talking about on that album was predominantly JID and how he killed every single track. So he's really coming into his prime. He's really amazing. Him and Smino make for a beautiful tandem. Kenny Beats just adding on to that. I like when Kenny Beats produces for Smino. He's really good at that. They have a good chemistry together, and so does Smino and JID. So I think perfect track overall. I don't think he got enough love as it should have. But it just came out recently. So hopefully it starts picking up some steam. I think it's really good.
Yep. I think, just like you said, like Revenge of Dreamers, that dropped after DiCaprio 2, and I think that was just basically showing that he's trying to be next up. And he's following that with every feature, whatever he drops at this point. So I'm not going to be surprised if the next project he drops, I don't know if it's going to be a classic, but it's probably going to be up there. That's all I gotta say.
No, definitely, for sure. I'm expecting like 8 or 9 to a 10. But please, please, bro.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We didn't even get to talk about DiCaprio too, because that was pre-podcast, unfortunately. And that was really one of my favorites a while. So, next album that comes out, expect an in-depth Lee review, because I am going hard for that fucking album. So, we're going to talk about... Sorry. We're going to give our thoughts on this Black Thought. Thought versus Everybody. AC, the number one thought on the podcast. Can you please give your thoughts?
You think you are funny, huh? You're not... You are not funny. Well, Black Thought is known to be a very conscious rapper, a very enlightened rapper. Well-versed, I would like to say. Looking at the visuals, that it really went along well with his lyrics and what he was speaking about. He was speaking about the issues that we're seeing right now in the Black community, how we go about those as a people. And I really appreciate the song. I think it was great. I think he came with great energy. It was like a more of a somber like sound. Like he was, you know, wasn't really just like straight up spitting and rapping. He really was just telling a story and just keeping it real of how it is and how he feels and how he interprets being Black in America. So I really do appreciate him coming out with that track. It was great. It was a good listen. Whenever he comes out with something, I'm always ready to listen and hear what he has to say. So that's my take on Black Thought. Keep doing you. Stay Black. You know what I'm saying? That's for real. Stay Black. Stay Black, because that's important, you know, to have real influential voices like his being heard in our community.
So like AC was saying, what you get from Black Thought is usually the same. Very prolific raps. Very... in-depth storytelling in general. Like AC was saying, you know, you kind of just get what you get from Black Thought. I know he's got an album coming out. It's a good teaser for the album coming out. He always gives you prolific raps, very in-depth storyteller, really paints a picture for you every time. Thought versus Everybody, really solid single. I like the beat on it as well. Y'all should check it out. If you guys are into more conscious rap, not so much just, you know, listening to vibe or have fun with it, is having introspective tracks make you think are really helpful from time to time. So that's what I think about it. I don't know what Ray thinks, though.
I like the track. As y'all know, I hope y'all know, Black Thought is one of my favorite MCs of all time. His ability to paint pictures and just depict what he's talking about is like no other. As I was saying earlier, Malik B just passed away, and he was the second MC of the Roots for a long period. And when he left, he totally took the ship and just never looked back. Like, Black Thought, I'm not trying to say he's underrated because a lot of people know him at this point. I just think he doesn't get his just dues as far as, like, people streaming his shit, people supporting him, because this dude can rap. I'm not trying to say, like, I guess bars mean everything, but the whole vibe of this trap, the sample or whatever that is, where it's just like every, like, fuck, like, he's literally just saying, like, it's me against everybody. And that's true. Like, the lyrics, the way he's just going at people, it's aggressive. The only thing that annoys me about this is it's just, I'm not trying to say, like, Black Thought can't do one on his own, because the little EPs he dropped, Streams of Thought, projects were dope, but it makes me want a Roots project. The last time I heard the Roots together was 2014. That is literally 6 fucking years. I'm a Roots fan. I love the Roots, and I like their last album. And it's crazy to see Black Thought do his own thing, because that was a thing, like, oh, what if Black Thought did his own thing? Like, that would be crazy. I'm not trying to say Black Thought isn't doing his thing on his own, but it really just makes me want another Roots album, because their production is so unique, because it's live instrumentation. It's like a band in a rap atmosphere. And I'm not trying to say this makes Black Thought not as good, but I feel like it just puts him in that rappity rap lane, which is fine. But when he's with the Roots, it's something special. It's something unique. And I'm not trying to say, like, his bars aren't as good as when he's on the Roots. It's just the production with Questlove and all the other supporting members, it's in another lane. And I'm excited for this Black Thought project, though, just for the fact that I love Black Thought. I love what he has to bring to the table, like, mm-hmm. No matter what. Yeah. Doesn't let me down.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so AC, any final thoughts? No? Okay, AC's good. We are going to talk about one more single, and then we will get into our last three reviews, which are three albums, almost through this. Gorillaz, Song Machine, Pac-Man, featuring Schoolboy Q. What a track. Gorillaz, you probably know them from early 2000s, have kind of found their own lane again in the late 2010s and 2020 again. I wasn't the biggest fan after the 2000s, but they've caught my interest diving into modern rap again with this Schoolboy Q single. It's a really funky beat, kind of sounds like a video game almost. Piano in the background. I don't know what the fuck it is, but it definitely sounds like a kind of a retro sounding beat. So that's where like Pac-Man kind of fits in. And the chorus is cool. The singing in the beginning is cool by the Gorillaz. But what really stands out is the Schoolboy Q feature. Schoolboy Q absolutely kills this. I didn't know what to expect when he was gonna come in on this song, but man, was I surprised with what Schoolboy decided to put on here. Totally aggressive, clean bars all the way through. And it just sounds like, you know, some old classic Schoolboy Q. Don't sound like he's trying to do anything that somebody else is doing. It's his sound, his voice, and he's coming real nasty and mean on the whole song. And it just kind of gives me a snake face when I'm listening to it. Just like, damn, this thing going hard. It makes me excited for the album. Well, whenever it comes, you know, we got to get Kendrick's first. But, Schoolboy, you can drop one too, bro. I'll be excited for it.
Yep, definitely. I'm a person that has still been checking out the Gorillaz' work just because I like the Gorillaz. Their last album, I believe it was The Now Now. The Now Now and The Humans, they weren't crazy. The singles weren't crazy. These Song Machine singles have been something else. I think it's bringing back that early 2000s vibe Gorillaz, as Deadly was saying. Like, I haven't been this excited for a Gorillaz project since Plastic Beach, and that was 2010. So it's been damn near a decade since I've been like, yo, the Gorillaz are doing something crazy. I'm not trying to, like, as Deadly was saying, like, Schoolboy Q killed this. I'm not trying to say Gorillaz didn't do their job. They definitely did their job. Like, the vocals, the production is Gorillaz. But when Schoolboy Q comes on the track and brings that gritty ass vibe, and also does damn near, it wasn't like two parts, but he definitely switched it up and he still kept it going. Like, it reminded me of old Schoolboy Q, and that's what I want from Schoolboy Q. I don't want another Crash Talk. I don't know about you, Deadly. Actually, I do know about you, Deadly. Nope. You don't want another Crash Talk. Yeah.
Hell no, nigga.
So if you're going to be rapping like this on your album, and for you to do this over a Gorillaz beat and still make it amazing, that's impressive. I'm excited. I'm kind of mad that COVID happened at this point, because I damn near feel like we're supposed to already have gotten his album or like some singles for it. We haven't even got a single. And if this is what he's bringing, yo, be prepared. That's all I got to say. TD might be back on their shit. I think Crash Talk and J-Rock's last album might have, now I'm not going to say humbled them, but it might have woke them up and realized, like, we got our sound. We don't have to change it up or, like, match Kendrick all the time. Because I feel like J-Rock's last album, I'm not trying to say it sounded like damn, but I feel like they were all trying to do that conventional sound. Like, yeah. Do your own shit. Yeah, huh?
For sure. Like, definitely. I feel like they were trying to modernize themselves in a way that just, you don't need to. You don't need to. You can literally, I mean, if anything, I feel like it's been proven more and more as time goes on into this in rap music right now. I mean, we're seeing Griselda surface. What does Griselda sound like? Anything really contemporary? No, bro.
No.
Niggas care about good music. So if you make some shit that sounds like it's some old head shit, you know niggas gonna check it out. You guys already got that fan base. There's no need to try to modernize anything or dumb it down, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm not saying they dropped trash albums. It's just they didn't hit me, and I know you the same way. They didn't really hit us the same way that they usually do. And if they're going to drop like this, or at least School IQ, I'm excited, bro. This was a treat. If you haven't been checking Gorillaz out, check out the other singles too, because this one was dope, but this is a string of dope ass singles they've been putting out if you are into the Gorilla sound.
Yep.
It reminds me,
Say yep.
Yeah, it reminds me of Demon Days. If you guys like Dare, if you guys like Feel Good, I'm not saying all the tracks have that vibe, but it just reminds me of like they ain't really missing. And it's been dope to see a group like that kind of come back and get back kind of to their hip hop roots.
Yeah, man. Just going back to TDE, man. Niggas bonded over that shit, man. Like literally our whole friendship was, I'm not going to say it was founded in it, but this nigga coming in with an oxymoron hoodie into to the old G-Max room, you know, shit, man. Like, those are the days. This man, Rayla, he was wearing some bucket hats some days. I was like, man, why you wearing bucket hats? It's for Groovy Q, man.
Yeah.
With the, and this man wearing ski masks and shit. I'm like, this nigga on some shit. Okay, I'll fuck with him. AC. Say something for the people. Did you check this out? No. Okay. All right. Hey, we'll move on. Don't worry about it. Catch you on the next topic. It's all good. Anyways, finally we'll be done with these singles. We've been talking about singles for an hour now. We have some projects that I am really excited to talk about now. All right. So this is Juice WRLD's Postmortem album. So this is the first album that's come out since Juice WRLD died. Rest in peace. Legends Never Die. It is a 21 song project, 55 minutes. And overall, I'm pretty impressed with this album. I am not the biggest Juice WRLD fan. I kind of never really got on the hype train in like 2017 when Goodbye and Good Riddance came out. I know a lot of people were... People come to him for a certain mood and stuff like that. I have a lot of friends who really like Juice WRLD for that. But it just never really clicked with me. But I did listen to the projects. I have done my due diligence in checking them out. And this one sounds like Juice WRLD. It sounds like something that he would have made. I feel like Juice WRLD's songwriting ability is bar none. I don't think that really anybody can hold him and say that he is a bad songwriter, because it's never like that. I just, you know, his singing isn't for everybody. But this album sounded like him. It sounded like these were songs that he wrote, and it was really heavily focused on him. The features were there's like four of them, right? It was, I think Marshmello was on here, Halsey was on here, and Trippy Red were on here. But
Polo G.
Oh yeah, Polo G was also on here. So nothing, they didn't take away from Juice WRLD at all. He had some good songs. Titanic was really good. I really liked Wishing Well as well. But there's nothing really negative I can say. If you like Juice WRLD and you're into that type of music, you're really gonna like this album. Was it for me? Not personally, no. But as far as a postmortem, I think it was well constructed, and it showed that there was a lot of love in putting this together. And, you know, honestly, he might have already had this close to finished. I wouldn't be surprised with how it sounds.
Yeah, I agree. It sounded like an album he would have. I mean, you can never tell, you know, on my live. I got a question on my live was, are After Death albums ethical by Annalise? And it's a weird... That's a weird way to think about it, because who's to say this is ethical? Like, who's to say this is what Juice WRLD would have really wanted to put out, no matter if he recorded it, because he died and he might have wanted to scrap some of these and re-record them. But I feel like this, as someone who's not a fan, though, I wasn't a hardcore fan. I checked out the EP he dropped, and, you know, when the singles dropped and he was blowing up, that was cool. Goodbye and Good Riddance. And the project with Future, I didn't really mess with. Death Race for Love, I actually... It wasn't like it totally grew on me, but I started to see where his sound was going. And I was like, okay, like, this is all right. And then now this is just sad to hear, because I know his music meant a lot to some people. As we were saying earlier, RIP, because now we don't know what he would have progressed into fully. Like, this is what we have left of what maybe he was aiming towards, or what he was just creating just to, like, keep his sound going. Like, if Juice WRLD is as talented as I hear he was from interviews where people were saying, like, he just went in the studio and recorded a track in, like, a few minutes and it was, like, a hit damn near, like, it sounded like a hit. Like, it explains why these tracks sounded like him, because the hooks, a lot of the hooks were catchy. The interludes were him giving a lot of motivational speeches, like, keep going, don't stop, whether you have anxiety, no matter what's going on in your life, you can push through it. You know, whatever your struggle is, look at me, I made it. I don't know, man. It was kind of eerie just to hear, because it sounded like he wanted to put this out, but he didn't. Unfortunately, he didn't have much time, because it was talking about his dependence on drugs, which ended up being his downfall because he overdosed taking a bunch of pills because of a incident on a plane. It's a sad listen because the lyrics revolve around that stuff, you know, depression, not doing drugs to take away the pain. It was just, it was an eerie listen, man. I don't know, man. It reminded me of listening to Max Project, but it didn't hit me as hard because I wasn't the biggest fan. I don't know about you.
No, I definitely feel that. Just like, what's my legacy going to be like when I'm not around? So themes like that. I mean, Juice WRLD has always talked about stuff like that in general. So definitely his music after he's passed is definitely has a different, much more somber tone to it. It's not so much something that, like, well, what if this happened? Because, yeah, it ended up happening. So as for the ethics of the posthumous album, I think that if somebody is very close to you and can see your artistic vision and knows you, you love them, they're part of your family, I don't really see any problem with you releasing that kind of music. Now, if you're tinkering with the stuff and it's really not finished and it doesn't really fit the artistic vision, but who's to say if any of that is that, like, then I don't think it's ethical. So it's really touchy because you don't know what the artist would want at all, because the artist is dead now. So it's really up to the people that they knew, they trusted, they loved, to make that decision. So I just kind of have to go with what they think is right. If they think it's right, then they do. It's not really for me to say, because I don't know them personally at all.
Well, yeah, I agree. I think it depends artist to artist and who's putting out the music. Is the label just putting out the music because they want to get the last bit of money they can out of them? Like, I feel like with XXX or X, it was like that. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to say, like, obviously, I mean, I'm hoping his family was involved, and maybe I've heard stories like his mom was, or his family was trying to make money off him too, and it wasn't like out of love. I don't know. I can't say that. I'm not going to go out my way to say that, but it just feels like those albums were put together and just whatever they had, whether it was scraps, whether it was X just literally doing, like, oh my God, like little shit ad-libs, like they just put it on the track to get money because they know X fans were hardcore fans and they would eat it up. And it was sad to see because I used to like X when he was doing SoundCloud stuff. And even though I didn't support him later in his career as much, it was just like, man, I want a good After Death X album, because I feel like he could have totally did it if he would have recorded enough. This sounded like Juice WRLD recorded enough. It was thought out, even to the interludes. Like, I mean, I don't know when all this was recorded, but they did a really good job. Like, this in the Pop Smoke album, I'm not trying to say which one's better because it's not really a competition, but man, we got two good After Death albums from artists that I wasn't the biggest fan of, and it impressed me just from the fact that they sounded pretty put together, and it didn't sound like they just threw some shit on the wall just to make it stick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really important, because when X and Lil Peep had died very closely together, when those posthumous albums had come out, this is really where I feel like this conversation picked up, because they did not seem like they were made out of love and for the artist's intent. It was more, it seemed like a cash grab, and I think it just really, you can tell sometimes, like, I know I don't want to, like, make assumptions about this kind of stuff because it's really just, like, kind of touchy, but it feels like you can tell, like, if somebody is just not following what you think that artist would want for their music when they're about to drop it. Because you expect a certain level of quality from that artist as you listen to them. As with X, you listen to his albums, and just the difference from his albums when he was alive to when he was dead, just night and day, pretty much. So I appreciate that this album had come out, and Pop Smoke's album shows, you know, a really good side of hip hop where we try to show love for people who had passed prematurely. And it's really tough to listen to them. But if you're a fan of either of those artists, I recommend checking those out.
Yeah. RIP Juice, man.
Yeah, RIP. Okay. We're going to switch up and talk about Mike's album, Weight of the World. Mike, a Bronx-based rapper. Sounds, if you're looking for, like, somebody to compare him to, I know we don't like comparing artists. Nobody likes getting compared. But sounds a little bit like Earl. Earl is featured on here. And this album was pretty damn good to me. The beat selection he has generally is a lot of soul samples. And he is really good at cutting samples and distorting them to a fashion where they ride very smoothly with his monotone, somber voice throughout. I think on some of the samples, they kind of got repetitive and maybe dragged on a little bit too long, where he wouldn't be rapping anymore and the song would just keep going and it would just be the sample playing and the beat playing. And I thought those were where the album shined the least, obviously, but he has some deeply introspective tracks about him growing up, what he was going through at home. 35 minutes of introspective bars and emotional cuts of him talking about him growing up and what his life has been. Some of my favorites are No, just got Mike on it. Great song. Weight of the World is a great song. And All Star is the final song of the track list featuring Earl Sweatshirt, and I think their chemistry is just obviously very palpable. They
agree.
They're like almost one in the same because they, you know, they take inspiration off of each other all the time. So those were my three favorite tracks off the whole thing. But the whole thing is really good. It's only 35 minutes. It seems longer. Mm-hmm. Not that that's a bad thing, but he definitely fit a lot of content into this project.
Definitely. Like, I like Mike. I checked out his other projects just because he's been making a little bit of waves in the underground scene as far as that lo-fi, super abstract bars and stuff sound. Tears of Joy and War on My Pen are solid ass projects. They're not like hella my favorites, but I can see why people really like Mike, and to see Earl really bond with him, and I'm not trying, like you said, that they heavily influence each other, so it's not like one of them is biting off of each other, but it's like at this point their sounds are similar because I think they've been working together or whatever it is, like they're in the same lane, and I could see why someone might say like, well, Earl does this better than him, but he does it a little bit differently in my opinion, because Earl still has that, it's not really Odd Future, but he has a certain way he raps still,
like LA,
yeah, while Mike is really, it's not like he's darker, but the way he flows and rhymes is way more East Coast, but it's not even East Coast because he's super unique in that way where he raps over super lo-fi beats, and people sometimes say lo-fi beats are just East Coast beats, but it's like it's a little bit different because the mastering, I mean, I guess you could say it's going for an old sound, but like there are spaces on this album where not necessarily I got annoyed, but it was like the beat almost overshadowed Mike.
Okay, yeah,
I agree. And if you like lo-fi, unorthodox flows, dark shit, about what's going on with the world in his life. Like, I like that he said on he had a line where he said, before COVID, I've been in the yard. That simple little line just showed me that this was recorded at different times. And obviously, one of them was recorded post-COVID. Like, it's really gives you that vibe. Like, it's called The Weight of the World. And I just feel like he was just talking about what's been going on with him, what's been going on with the world. Like, it's a dark time. And I feel like this project is a picture of that, which is fine. I just didn't really think it was as good maybe as his other projects. If you want to just relax, not even necessarily relax, but kind of like chill and listen to someone just talk about what they're going through, what's been going on, this is the project for you. And if you like Earl Sweatshirt, you might take a lot of tracks from this because it's similar, but like I said earlier, it's different. And my favorite tracks were What's Home, Half, Love Supremacy, and All Star with Earl Sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Like you said, Deadly, the chemistry between them is on another level. I was surprised he wasn't on Earl's album because he shouts him out. You know, I was in that, the kitchen or something with that nigga Mike. Like, they obviously have been fucking with each other, and it's obvious yeah. as far as like the way they compliment each other. So it was dope to hear them together as a closing track on this album.
One more thing I'll say on like the mixing and mastering of it. There are some times where the beats feel a little clanky and aren't that smooth. I forget what song it is in particular, but it's just like it'll grow on you. But some of them are, I say, like you said that it was a relaxing vibe. Some of them make you feel kind of just like iffy about it. I don't know if that's a good thing yet or a bad thing, but it's like it almost made me feel uncomfortable. But I think the point of this project really is not to make you comfortable. It's kind of to get you into the mindset of the weight of the world. So I think that it was probably an artistic choice for how he was going about it. But there are some times where the beats will make you feel uneasy, or you're just like, man, this is like overwhelming to a certain degree. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. That makes, that totally makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. So, but yeah, like you were saying, old school vibe, uses a lot of soul samples, like, you know, old East Coast, and just a good project overall. I can't complain about a 35 minute project when you're giving us that much content. The last and final album is the one I am excited about the most. Sababy from the ATL, you know. A lot of people aren't hip to it yet, but I hope that by the end of this review, you will be hip to it, because the beats on this album, oh my God, bro. Somebody give me this dude's beat, man, bro. I need this for my tape. Whenever that drop, I need this. He has a way, he is so charismatic and so comedic on the entire project. His lyrics are funny. Giraffes and Elephants, my favorite track on here. Big Booty Bitch, call that that shit on Elefonso. Give her both of these balls, LaMelo and Lonzo. I will never trust a bitch like the Lifestyle Condom. Like, he's just funny with the way he goes about every single song, way he goes about and approaches the topic. Racist, and he talks about his diamonds being Caucasian, racist and shit. Just everything is fucking hilarious. A Trapezoid talking about a bitch with a skinny waist and a fat ass like a trapezoid. Like, he's just hilarious, man. His ad-libs are second to none. His the way he rides on his beats are so smooth, and he's got a really good rapping voice in general. So please check this out. It's only like 41 minutes. Ray, what do you think about it? This nigga about to shit on the whole project right now.
No, this is my first Sababy project. I've heard a dude as far as tracks go. Like, I never really went on my way to check out a full project. And I think the reason why is because his style is like, it reminds me of Lil B in the sense that he's funny, but he's not as much as an outsider, which is fine to me. But this project was interesting because it's called Barnacles. The cover is like literally ridiculous.
I love that cover, man.
Yeah, I know. It's a dope cover for his style. His unique trap style is entertaining for sure. If you believe in the mumble rap, like we were saying earlier term, this is definitely mumble rap. There's some times where I kind of understood him, but it's like you have to either not necessarily focus, but it's like he be like just like flowing and like damn near mumbling, which is fine. I don't really hate on that. That's fine. It's just funny to me. The way he says shit that don't make sense or is just like out of pocket is hilarious to me. Like on the songs Pregnant or Double Dick. Like even the titles of these tracks are like, what is going on, bruh? And then.
Wait, my pocket's pregnant. I came in the mouth and made her tongue pregnant.
Yeah, like, oh, bruh. What? What the fuck was he saying on Purple Umbrella? Like, it's funny. It's an enjoyable project just to, like, hear him just go off and be wild with his flows, wild with what he's saying. It's obviously on purpose, and I get it. And I started to enjoy it the more I listened to it just for the fact that it was so ridiculous. Like, it was, like, charming almost, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I definitely think it's charming. Yeah, that's a good way to describe him.
I enjoyed the tracks that made me laugh. Otherwise, it was kind of forgettable for me. But y'all know how I roll. I'm not trying to say like super duper lyrical miracle rap, but it's like I want a little bit more content, or you have to be a little bit more of an outsider, like Lil B. I'm not trying to say I'm the biggest Lil B fan, but I could listen to Lil B sometimes, especially on a project, because it's just like so out there. It's like, what the fuck am I listening to? This dude, he still does it over trap beats, so it's like, I'm not trying to say he's like conventional, like I'm not conventional, like he's like everyone else, but it's like he's not as much as an outsider as Lil B, so it's like it's kind of like I'm listening to just a mumble rapper, but when you actually listen to what he's saying, it's not like a mumble rapper, because it's like he's just out of pocket and like says a bunch of funny stuff. I enjoyed the aesthetic though. Like I said, the cover is dope for him. Like, he has an image, he has a thing he's going for, and I support that just for the fact that he's not doing the mumble, and I said that in quotations, trap rap like everyone else. He's doing it the way he wants to do it, and it's funny. My favorite tracks were, like Daly said, Giraffes and Elephants. That one was hilarious. Racist and Tongue Demon.
He's a tongue demon. Yeah. La, la, la.
He's really sexual with his bars. That's another thing that kind of like, it didn't necessarily throw me off, but it was like, this dude is just going into it. And I messed with it, man. I got more enjoyment out of it than I expected. And that's dope. Like, I can support dude. I can support his whole little movement. Shout out to Side Baby. Keep doing your thing, man. I ain't going to hate on you, man. It was funny.
Well, that is a better reaction than I expected. So, I'm happy with it. I'm happy.
You thought I was going to hate on boy? Like, I don't know, man. Well, I can't hate on... Huh?
You know our producer, Wavy J, absolutely hated this project. He said it was anything but it's time.
I can't hate on it, man. It's a little... Like, I don't know about... Like, I might not listen to it as a project have it again, but I can listen to some of these tracks and just be like, this is cool. This is funny. Play it for people who, I mean, I'm not really socializing right now, but once I start, like, play it for people who want to hear something funny and just, like, put it in the background, he's just, like, joking, and I could get some enjoyment from the lyrics because it's so out there. Like, it's like, what is he fucking talking about? But it's not, like, out of pocket where it's, like, Lil B and he's not rhyming and he's not making complete sense. Like, he kind of makes sense, but it doesn't make sense at the same time.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. But, yeah, he just, and he got some cuts on here that are, like, you know, just straight up trap songs like "Hey Mister" or "Hey Mister."
Yeah,
yeah, and
wasn't that really, the last track?
Yeah, he's really good.
That was fighting for one of my favorite tracks. Like, I was like, "Yo, like, that was a dope closer for the album." Like, okay, like I think he could definitely do both. I'm gonna definitely keep track of him just to see like how he keeps the aesthetic going and how he keeps mixing the playful slash like trap rap. And maybe if he'll, I'm not going to say take it more seriously, but if he really, like, starts to delve into certain things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. Shout out Sabi, man. You visionary. I don't care what nobody says. I don't care what Wavy J says. Anyways, concludes this musical segment. Thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of Hip Hop Babies. I know y'all appreciate the dialogues. I know y'all appreciate the music reviews. And, you know, we appreciate y'all for checking in every week, seeing what we got. Even if it is a little long, I know that this one's going to run a little long. But I know y'all fuck with us. So I appreciate you. Send us beats at thhbpodcast@gmail.com. DM us on Instagram, Twitter, Hip Hop Babies Podcast. You can just look that up on either one. You'll probably find it. And let us know what you think. Give us feedback. Tell your friends. Word of mouth helps a lot. You recommend that you like this podcast to somebody else, they're probably going to check it out. So it helps us a lot. Thank you very much.
Wow. Well, Deadly, thank you for that long-winded outro. But
fuck
this, is this is AC coming on the mic. I just want to say that you thank you. Like Deadly say, word of mouth is the number one form of transportation of knowledge. So inform the people around you about the Hip Hop Babies Podcast. We love the support. We appreciate y'all coming in, tuning in every week. Try to have fresh content for y'all. We appreciate the love.
Yep. Thank y'all. You know, we've been doing, you know, at this point, we've been doing this for a little bit, and we trying to prove every episode, every time we get on these mics and talk, we trying to include the important topics while also keeping it fun. So give us your feedback. Like Deadly says, send us whatever you got for us so we can give our feedback on that. We're trying to build a community. So we love every bit of support we get, and we'll also try to show love and support your way if you support us.
Most definitely. It's all about love on this podcast. All right, y'all. That wraps it up for episode number whatever episode this is. appreciate y'all. Peace.
Peace.
Peace.